Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome aboard to this Tuesday, 29th July, 2008 edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, glad to have you along. We'll try. Last night was a tough night. It seems like all the shooting nights, the nights that are dominated by shooting stories, are tough nights. And I feel almost sick saying that because, Lord, they're emotionally trying here and there, and yet we don't begin to comprehend the grief, I don't think, that these right-wing rampages take on their individual communities. We don't begin to comprehend it in the least. But at least we know we don't have to worry about it very much, because it's already pretty well off the national radar. Now, bear in mind that, as our buddy David in South Carolina noted, that, well, had the shooter's name been Muhammad or Ahmed, you wouldn't be able to turn a channel without hearing another little detail about it, without finding some bloviating right-wing member of Congress or some bloviating right-wing religion industry so-called minister pontificating. No. If it was someone of darker skin, someone with a foreign-sounding name, we would be inundated with updates and reports and live on-the-scene spot reporting. But in this case, it was just another right-winger with his head chock full of right-wing hate who decided to rip his community apart, and therefore, it's not that, you know, newsy. No, I had to go all the way down on the main page at CNN, all the way down to crime before I found the latest update, a follow-up response story about one of the people who was present in the church during the shooting. And it says that he got up in the terrorist's face and screamed, "Why?" Just as well to get up in Flush Flimball's face and ask why. Of course, Flush Flimball would answer, $400 million, my friend, that's why! Did you know I'm contemplating purchasing the St. Louis Rams if they ever go on the block? I've decided I want to own me an NFL football team. Yes, I have. With talent on loan from God, my friends. Of course, Donovan McNabb will never play for me. You ask, you get up in Sean Hannity's face and you say, why? And he says, $20 million. That's what I just signed for. Surely a couple of little people, liberals for God's sakes, in some church in Tennessee, they're worth $20 million to me. Absolutely. That's what you get. Because it's an installment plan deal, like I said. But like I said, I had to go all the way down at the CNN homepage to find anything about this. Let's see. And I looked at it earlier. It talks about shots happening, a loud boom, shotgun blasts, opening rounds, two people killed, seven people wounded. Paragraph number four, it finally calls it a rampage. Four patients are still hospitalized. They're not even victims. Then a little bit later down, a couple of sentences later, two victims had been treated and released. One had been injured diving under a pew. And then one, two, three, four, five paragraphs in, we get the name of the terrorist, finally, Jim Adkisson. He's been charged with first-degree murder. Police said in an affidavit that he's admitted to the shootings and told police the church's liberal teachings prompted him to attack. So it's an attack. All the way through this article, and he is never, not once, a terrorist of any stripe. He's not a right-wing terrorist. He's not a Republican terrorist. He's not a conservative terrorist. He's not a domestic terrorist. He's not a terrorist. Despite the fact that the very definition of terrorism is the use of violent force in order to obtain a desired political or social outcome. Now, he's not a terrorist. He's just doing what right-wingers do. Right-wingers, well, as you may have heard listening to the rerun of Mark Levine's show from December the 12th, 2007, right-wingers love them their guns. They will gladly trade your kid, your son, your daughters, your husband, your wife's, your cousin, your uncles, your aunts, your grandfathers, your grandmothers, your next-door neighbors' lives for the right to keep their guns. That's the deal with the devil that we make in this country. But please remember, he's Jim Adkisson. He is not a terrorist. Now, I've been all over. I have looked at every wire service I can get my eye on today, and I have nowhere seen this guy referred to as a terrorist. And I know in my heart of hearts, as sure as I know the sun will rise tomorrow, and that if you eat little green apples off the apple tree, it'll give you a bellyache and the runs. I know that if this man had had brown skin and a funny-sounding name, the word terrorism would be associated, or terrorist, or terroristic, every variation on the word would be used in regard to that person. But since he's just a pathetic, white, marginally educated, you know, we talked about him being a mechanical engineer. He's got an associate's degree of some sort in mechanical engineering. He's a truck driver. You know, he's coming up on 60 years of age. And life in America is not good for 60-year-olds who aren't of the, what did Bush call them? Some people call you the haves and the have-mores. I call you my base. If you're not one of those, 60 can be downright scary. Some of you already know that. 60 can bring on an era of penny counting and money watching that you'd never known before because of right-wing policies in this country that have put the squeeze on everyone, but on our older citizens and our senior citizens the most. And this guy was there. He was part of that group. I'm not making excuses for him. I never will. But it's not just the insanity that this country has for firearms. And while the things like Michael Savage's The Enemy Within and Liberalism is a Mental Disorder and Hannity's Let Freedom Ring and the filthy spew of Rush Limbaugh and all of the other right wingers, while those are certainly lit matches on the fuse of the dynamite that lived inside the soul of Jim Adkison, it's simple things like not being able to get a job when you feel like you're still competent to do a job. It's sitting around liquored up like Jim Adkison did and letting the liquor talk to your brain and talk to your soul and tell you that those words on those pages by Savage and Hannity and O'Reilly, those are the answer. Everything would be fine. There's nothing wrong with you sitting around liquored out of your brains day after day after day after day after day. Why, that's not why you can't get a job. The two DUIs you've got, one from California and one from Tennessee, that's not why you're not a truck driver anymore. By God, it's the liberals. And simple answers are often the most satisfying, because they negate the need for any sort of self-examination. If there are flaws that need to be corrected, it puts paid to that. You don't need to watch how much you're drinking. If the liberals and the gays would just quit ruining America, you'd be fine. You wouldn't even need to drink no more. And after a while, a certain sort of toxic logic sets in. And since you realize that you can't get to the Democrats and the liberals who are running things, you'll just take out some of the people who put them in power. Never mind the fact that there aren't any liberals in power in Tennessee, but it's a symbolic gesture, you must understand. And that, of course, is where Jim David Jim Adkison found himself on Sunday with a sawed-off shotgun and 76 rounds of ammunition. And there were heroes inside that church, and there's no getting around it. And I gotta wonder how old Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, yee-haw, would respond. Well, you know, if he did, because that's the thing. Even if you've got a gun for self-defense, the other guy has to show it first. Unless, of course, you're in a place like Florida where just being scared of the brown person allows you to take out your handgun and just blow them off the planet. But under most normal circumstances, the guy has to show the gun first, and then he probably gets a round off. In this particular instance, what did he get off? 3-4 rounds, maybe? Out of the 76 that he brought in, planned to slaughter the entire building. All them liberals. going to kill them for tearing up America. Because Sean Hannity done told me that's what they's doing. But all it took was personal heroism on part of Mr. McKendry, who didn't sit around and say, oh, wish I had me a concealed carry permit so I could bring my penis extension, my gun, to church with me on Sunday. He just decided that the lives of his fellow churchgoers were worth more than his, and that his life would be defined in saving theirs. And like unto the Christ which he may or may not have worshipped, he put their lives ahead of his and engaged in that sacrifice which is most noble in the human condition. And so one must wonder how the right wing responds, especially the gun owners of America who want everybody to have a gun in their pocket, how they would respond to that. A man who was able to be a hero without a gun. It must cause them some degree of pause. Must cause them a great degree of pause. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, hey, it's Sandra.
Hey, Sandra, what's going on?
I'm just sort of this person that shot up that church. I mean, what did that get, about 2 minutes of coverage?
Yep, here and gone.
And it's just sort of like, hello. I mean, it's just classic. This fool was about to lose his food stamps. Now, how ridiculous does that sound for someone who worships that right-wing spew that he listened to day in and day out? I mean, it's so...
But see, that's cover for him. As long
it's
as
pathetic.
It's psychological cover for him, Sandra, because as long as he's listening to the right-wing spew, then it sort of balances out the fact that he's one of the people that they hate.
No, but have you noticed that it's always it's amazing how, I'm sorry to say, weak these white men tend to be when shit happens. It's amazing what happens to them. Those are the same ones who will fall apart as soon as things go south. You know, whereas the rest of us, we got to buck up under amazing type of shit. I mean, I'm sick to death of these white men losing it. You know, it's like, hello.
Yeah, you just want to look at man up, you know, man up.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, what the hell? And it's always, it never fails, that it's these same pathetic types who, you know, think that somehow some brown person somewhere somehow has made his life miserable, unlike what you said, the DUIs, the constant drinking, all the things that the right wing is quite happy to say, personal responsibility, don't apply to that fool. So he gets a gun and decides he's going to shoot up, what, a children's play? Give me a goddamn break. I was just so disgusted by it, and more disgusted by the for-profit media. It's like, oh, where's the terrorist label? Why isn't that a terrorist?
Nope, wrong color to be a terrorist, Sandra.
Well, it's just sort of, you know, they want to sweep this under the rug with the quickness, because this is what 90% of that radio that spews night and day, 24/7, this is what it can produce, because... if you're told enough that these people are encroaching on you in ways that is undermining your lovely American way of life, you know, you're going to take action, right?
Well, you know, we've got a listener to the program who took one for the team last night, Sandra, and said Savage had not a peep to say, not a word.
Oh, someone actually listened to that crap?
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, just to be able to report back on it.
Yeah, well, no. Well, I'm not surprised by that. And those people, they never, you know, the right wing never takes responsibility. They're always the most put upon people ever. They're victims, and they never take responsibility for the actions that come about, you know?
They don't. They don't. And I wonder, you know, O'Reilly is such a freak. I don't know if he can stay silent in the face of this. He may yet blow up.
Who?
O'Reilly. But, you know, because, you know, his book was there, too. Hannity's and O'Reilly's and Savage's books were, you know, all in the guy's apartment. And he said, if anybody should happen to say anything about this, he's bound to blow V8 about it. But this, this CNN story that I found, Sandra, not a word in the account about the three books, the Hannity book, the O'Reilly book, and the Savage book, not a word in this account about those books being there. Wasn't worth a second mention if it was even worth a first mention. But here's the thing. You want to know how far down the CNN website this story was?
I can imagine, at the bottom.
Way at the bottom. But in the top news stories, you know what got more play than this, or what they placed higher than this? Anderson Cooper attacked by shark. I wish I was kidding.
He got attacked by a shark?
Or confronted by shark, or Anderson Cooper's scared by shark. Yeah, something like that. And they had video of it and everything.
Oh, come on.
Nope, not kidding.
There's not enough stuff going on. They have to report on themselves. God, I'm sick to death of the media here.
Yeah, this is the crowd that the right wing loves to say is the liberal media. This is CNN. This is CNN, where Glenn Beck gets to say that we need to take Muslims who've never had a trial, who've never been charged, never been indicted, never been in any kind of legal process whatsoever. Glenn Beck says on CNN we need to take them out and put a bullet behind their ear.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and what about those women they have on CNN making fun of the so-called impeachment hearings? You know what I mean? There's a report, and they were talking about, you know, how Kabuki theater, and it's just a joke, and just really... so biased, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's not even pretend anymore. They're just straight up, it's just everything is just Republican as far as I can tell.
And I must admit that I have gone around and played around on some message boards today, most notably the ones over at KnoxNews.com, because that's the Knoxville newspaper. And to see those wing nuts there twisting themselves into pretzel shapes, well, we can't talk. The fact that he liked to listen to Hannity and Savage and O'Reilly, well, they're not hate speakers. See, you're liberal because you think Hannity's hateful. See, that's liberal media for you.
Well, they're not going to acknowledge their complicity in this misery. And the thing is it's not just them. It's the horrible Republican policy that these dumbasses are too stupid to realize is affecting their lives.
This guy was going to lose his food stamps.
That's what I'm saying. The irony in that in itself is just almost laughable if people hadn't died.
Sandra, you can take it a layer beyond below that. The food stamps that he was going to lose amounted to him eating on less than $3 a day. You know, malnutrition will rot your brain too.
No, and I mean, and the drinking and all the other sort of social ills that he was subjecting himself to. I mean, the thing is, though, is like, whereas women and minorities mostly will internalize this crap and turn it in. These white men, they'll go out and try to shoot up people.
That's because they have pre-existing justification for it, because they sit around their radio and they get told that that's how they're supposed to behave in order to be manly.
Well, you remember when Rush Limbaugh was advocating riots? I mean, these people, they do it nonstop, you know? He was sitting on his radio show talking about, he wants to see riots and police cars burning and all this sort of madness in Denver.
Another update on Operation Chaos coming down from HQ, faithful ditto heads.
And that's
supposed to be what, entertainment? I don't understand.
That's the thing. Whenever you call him on it, I'm not a
politician. I'm not a political commentator. I'm just an entertainer, my friends.
Right, and so his spew goes on and on and on. And this Savage, what is his excuse? He's an entertainer, too?
He's an independent truth teller. He tells the truth. He tells it like it is.
God, he's one sick puppy, that one. He needs some help.
Badly. Badly.
I don't know what happened to him, but something bad happened to that guy.
Well, he has Oedipal-type issues. I mean, you know, the real thing. That go way back, because, you know, when he was, a couple of weeks ago, when he was suggesting that autistic children needed to be slapped around a little bit and told to quit acting like an idiot, when he was in the middle of doing that, He was actually talking about the things his father had done to him, and he's done it on the air numerous times, talking about how his father brutalized him. And yet these people don't have the brains. And there's, you know, there's Savage under the name Michael Weiner holding a doctorate in ethnobotany or something like that. You know, a real live, honest to God PhD from Berkeley.
Oh God.
But he doesn't have the ability to look within himself or maybe he does. Maybe that's it. That's the most disturbing part out of all of this. I don't mean to just sit here and stammer and babble, Sandra, but it does that to me. Maybe that's the most disturbing part of this whole thing. For every last one of them, whether it's Hannity or Savage or Bortz or Limbaugh or Mark Levin or any of these other creepy bastards, maybe it's all just a money-making shtick racket for them.
Well, I mean, because, you know, they seem to get paid to exercise their sick demons over the air. And, you know, we have to listen to this filth. And it's completely unproductive. I mean, I've listened to some of those shows, and I've never heard such just rank negative, just really a horror show of images that they put out there with their voice.
The welfare state, the nanny state, the government, you know, you want the government to take care of you. Why can't you be a rugged individualist millionaire like me? When everyone, yeah, Rush Limbaugh was on welfare at one point in time. Sean Hannity worked in Huntsville, Alabama, okay? About 72 miles east of where I grew up. Sean Hannity worked in Huntsville, Alabama, and they don't pay real good in the market there. So,
well,
you know.
But it's just, I mean, I'm sick of these. Yeah, these are the same ones that's telling us, you know, the bootstraps. And chances are, I'm sure it wasn't the situation with them.
Oh, no. You know, Michael Savage guarded the acid for Timothy Leary because Timothy Leary knew that he wouldn't do the acid. You know, can you imagine Savage on acid? His brain is sick enough as it is. Everything would turn into dinosaurs. That or else he'd find himself, you know, dancing through the grass singing, I Feel Pretty, and then the rubber mask would be completely off.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, let me ask you something else. Have you noticed that that McCain got something else removed from his face?
Yes, it was just a little tiny thing. The spin is ridiculous on this. The doctor came out and said, yeah, it was a routine procedure. It was just a tiny thing. It was a little thing. There's nothing there. There's nothing to see here. Don't talk about it.
I mean, listen, what in the world? Why is it that the polls are not? I mean, Obama should be 20 points ahead. Oh, wait a minute. It's because he's black, right? I mean, what is the only explanation?
Well, Charles Krauthammer was there on Fox in the last day or so, maybe it was Sunday evening, to explain to America that Obama is scary because the last guy who had 200,000 people chanting his name in Berlin, well, that's not a very good thing.
No, you know what? No one's that. I mean, I have to say.
Oh, he did. He really, really did.
No, I heard them all talk about the fact that the large crowd, you can equate that with a Hitler all of a sudden when it comes to Obama. But my thing is that if you look at how he's perceived outside of the U.S., like this sort of, you know, wow, what a quality candidate you people have. Yet in America, it's a close race. And my only explanation for that, it has to be because the guy is black, you know, and he may not want to face that, but I'm just sort of looking at it and thinking, what in the world does McCain bring that can demand that he only have he's only 4 or 8 points behind? You see what I'm saying?
I do, Sandra, but it's so depressing to me to think that's the only explanation, because that tells me that America is screwed.
Well, no, and it's just like, you know, I don't want to, and I'm not even, and I understand, you know, sometimes these things, because a person of color is saying it, you know, it's always loaded. But I'm looking at it purely from a political perspective, just on the face of it. McCain should not be anywhere near in this race. I'm sorry.
Well, what's the new USA Today poll today shows him up 4 points now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, we can say the polls, something's wrong with them, but You know, I'm sorry. I think that I think there's a lot of people who, because of our legacy, you know, really can't quite reconcile the Negro in charge, the real Negro in charge, the reality of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that, Sandra, because I've got something else here that is, right disturbing, if I can find it in time. It turns out that this Adkisson character that did the shooting in Knoxville, he may have been a commenter on a Fox News message board. This is a sign in by Jay Adkisson, spelled the same way, A-D-K-I-S-S-O-N, from February the 25th, 2008 at 9:54 a.m. And it's all, you know, it's all minuscule, at no capital letters, no the punctuation is de minimis at best. And it says, "Yes, I believe he is Muslim, and if we put him in office, all the Muslim will take over. The blacks always cry they are not treated fair. Will, it is the other way around now. We have let them take over, and we are being treated bad now. And also the turbam, not turban, but turbam people, run or own about everything now. And we let them, excuse me, except the hot temper little one that is there now, and he owns oil wells and company. Do you expect the price of gas or oil to come down while he is in office?"
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, that was basically, wow. Yeah, and you should see it in print, Sandra.
Oh, God. Well, see, but this is what we're up against, you know?
You know what? The thing that crawled all over me the most was the statement that he made to the cops where he says, "Well, I can't get to the national leaders, so I'll just take out the people who put him in office."
He said that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, yeah, no, that's scary. And the thing is, though, don't you think there's plenty of more like him?
It is statistically impossible, Sandra, that there aren't thousands like him.
You know?
Because the demographics suggest that of the listenerships, they are measured in their millions. If 1/10 of 1% of 10 million people, do the math, if 1/10 of 1% is as crazy as him, how many are there?
Yeah, no, and you see, you know, it's easy to draw a parallel as the closer Obama actually gets to being inaugurated, you know, the more flipped out things can get, you know. I mean, I think things are just starting to heat up. And have you noticed how the mainstream media, or how they're interviewing Obama now? I mean, it's starting to get real, you know, they're starting to take a real, you know, somewhat harder line towards him. It's ridiculous. But he's, you know, I can't really figure out if they want him to be elected or not on some levels. You know what I mean? I go back and forth.
I do too. Because on the one hand, you know, it's odd because it mirrors in a way some of the thinking I've heard about John McCain that I've had on this program, Sandra. And that is the people who've called in who have said, "I am just tempted to let John McCain have it and let him drive us into the ground, and then we will be well and truly rid of Republicans and conservatives for a long, long time." I've had it said. And it's passed through my mind too. It might be the sort of the mirror image of that with the right wing. "Well, that's all right. We'll just let him have it and let him give America to those people and see how they like it then."
Well, that's the real risky thing for Obama as the first person of color to be handed this kind of mess. I just, you know, I question why, you know, he would want it. Although, you know, power is power, but it could really not go that well for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying, and
But McCain, though, see, I'm not willing to subject us to another half a decade of this mess, though.
I'm not either, and I came to that conclusion. I heard the arguments for it that were made, and I cannot go along with it. I have very personal vested reasons in not going along with that, because America will be going further to hell as my children are reaching young adulthood, and I don't want to hand them that world. I want to get busy fixing the mess that these rotten bastards have made for the last 8 years.
Well, that's what I mean, and it has to start, you know. I don't want to sacrifice, you know, more innocent people in wars and more victims of this economic meltdown just to make a point. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It's just not right.
And the trick to that, to shift just a little bit, Sandra, the trick to that is to be armed for the argument, and I know that you are. But I can't say enough about David K. Johnston's free lunch book.
Yeah, oh no, and there's also another one. Oh God, I can't remember the name of it. Damn it.
See, that's the thing. As liberals, we want to arm ourselves with ideas. They arm themselves with shotguns.
You know? No, I mean, that David K. Johnston book is great, and also The Squeeze. It's a book called The Squeeze. And
yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one. I haven't read that one, but that one sounds excellent, too, as far as giving a good dissection of just the state of the workers. And you know, it's not always... Those economic books, if you read them for what they are, you can't say, oh, it's left or right. They're dealing in the reality of what happens with corporate power.
And when we broadcast David K. Johnston last week, the thing that impressed me was that he had everything at his disposal to sit there and rail on the right wing. He wouldn't do it, Sandra. I mean, he had people saying, well, you know, tell us what to do. And he said, I'm a reporter. I'm reporting facts.
Yeah, no, exactly.
This is not my opinion. This is fact.
That's the thing. And that's one thing about, I mean, I know it's not a science, but economics, you know, can, if you understand it, can arm you with things that can shut down arguments with the quickness, because there it is. You know, if you have stagnant wages since 1970, well, you have stagnant wages since 1970. You know what I mean?
And everything flows from that. You know, the college prices that go up.
Right.
The health care costs, no matter how hard they tried, I don't think the right wing was able to make it stick. You just cannot account the rise in health care costs to all the lawsuits against them poor innocent doctors.
Well, no, and also like the energy thing. In 1970, whatever it was, or 75, gas was, the minimum wage is $1.65 an hour and gas was 26 cents. Well, the minimum wage is $6.55 now, and gas is $4.16. You know, the ratio aren't comparable. You know, we're being screwed beyond the beyond.
And the ultimate question, and it's the question that our side and only our side can answer, Sandra, is how do you tell Emery and Eileen out there what's being done to them? How do you get past the God, gays, and guns? How do you get past the, it's all those people's fault? How do you overcome 20 years of this filth soaking into the national zeitgeist like some sort of pernicious sponge? How do you get past that and say in real simple terms, you're getting robbed and you're thanking people for robbing you in the process?
Well, a 15% drop in your home value is a good start. I'm sorry. That says it all. I mean, did you hear that today?
Yeah, but no, because Emery and Eileen, they just say, well, you know the market. I don't understand that economic stuff, but
well,
okay.
When your house is upside down, though, when your house ain't worth crap and you're paying more for it, I mean, that's pretty straightforward, too. I understand. People don't make the connection to Republican policies, and they're already running articles about what Obama's going to do if he raises taxes.
You know? Oh, O'Reilly's out there screaming, I'll pay more taxes if Obama's president. Well, good, Bill.
Yeah.
Welcome to America. Welcome to progressive taxation. The more you make, the more you pay. That's the way it's supposed to work,
not only
buddy.
That, but, you know, we're supposed to, when I hear these people on radio who all earn, you know, well, outside of you, they all earn.
Thanks money. For rubbing it in.
You know what? I'm just trying to make sure I don't, you know, elevate you to the Katie Couric.
I'm cuter. I'm way cuter.
I'm sure. But no, but you know what I mean? It's like these rich people bitching at us about their loss of income. You know, I don't care. You know, you suck. Pay up. You know what I mean?
When I turned on my happy little computer this morning and I saw that thing where Limbaugh's wanting to buy him an NFL team, I thought my little pumpkin head was just going to pop.
And, well, you got to do something with all that money. I bet he tried to have as few Negroes as possible, although that might be hard since the NFL is 69.
Well, that was the first thing that occurred to me is I know one team that Donovan McNabb ain't going to play for if he buys the Rams.
Well, he's trying to buy the Rams?
Oh, he said if they ever go up for sale, I'm buying. Of course, I don't think there's a chance of, is it Georgia Frontieri that still owns it? Owns the Rams. I don't think there's a chance of it ever hitting the blocks. But yeah, he's put the word out there that he wants him an NFL team.
Well, no, but I don't think the NFL as a product will go over. You know, will embrace Rush Limbaugh that well. I mean, they're trying to maintain their product, and I don't know how well it will go having that pig as a part of it. But who knows? You know what I mean?
That's. Yeah, but they've got to, you know, they've got to do something, and you know, we need, you and me, we need to pay more taxes so that they can pay less, because again, what David K. Johnston calls it is corporate socialism.
Yeah, it's socialism, you know, that will just have Marx spinning in his grave, you know what I mean? Because we are just getting hosed, you know? I just can't believe that.
And no kiss in the process, yeah.
It's just hideous. I'm so sick to death of this media that's just, you know, occupied by just these rich spokespeople who are just, you know, trying to keep the status quo. That's why I say when Obama gets in, I mean, he has to raise taxes, you know?
I don't think he has a choice either, but I don't consider it a tax increase because I don't think he'll raise taxes on the middle class or the lower class. What I think will happen is that the Bush tax cuts will go back to hell where they came from.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so he's just gonna let them expire. Is that his solution to start? Oh, I mean, I just don't.
Right, because in the way that the right wing controls the message, even letting them expire, you know, they're out there. All right, he's gonna raise your taxes. That's not a tax increase. That's going back to zero. That's going back to normal.
Right.
Because you can't call the last 8 years anything approaching normal.
No, but I mean, you know, I don't really know if that message is going to resonate right now, though, you know, with him, with these people screaming that it's a tax increase. I think enough people are sort of maybe a little sick of them not paying their fair share at this point.
Maybe they are. But I don't know. I guess I'm more of a pessimist than you, because every time we start to talk about something like that, we get lost in the numbers, we get lost in the details, and the other side comes out with a bumper sticker, and we lose to bumper stickers. And the bumper sticker is Obama gonna raise your taxes.
Well, I don't understand why Obama's, you know, not fighting back with this latest ad about the troops. I don't think he realizes how dangerous letting that one pass is. You know what I mean? That lie of him not visiting those troops in Germany.
He was asked to not. You know, and frankly, if I'm laying there and I'm trying to recuperate, I don't care if it's the president, the vice president, the presidential candidate, the presidential candidate's wife, or the president, or somebody's cat. I want to focus on getting well. You know, it's not easy to learn to walk on a prosthetic limb, and certainly you're not in a good place when your head has a traumatic brain injury, and half the time you're wondering where the hell you are.
Well, no, but the thing is that, yeah, I agree. No, I agree with you. It's like, I don't want to see anybody if I'm in that situation. What are they there for except exploitation? But the way the right is framing it, you know,
Oh, but this whole thing was a cook job. For 6 solid weeks, John McCain was out there saying, my friends, why won't Barack Obama go and see what a success the surge is? So Barack Obama finally takes the bait, and he goes over there. And then he gets over there, and then, My friends, why is Barack Obama in Iraq exploiting our troops and politicking overseas? That's clearly beyond the pale. He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't, Sandra.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of it is just, you know, it's enough to make my head explode just thinking about it. Well, you know.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, God. Well, I'll let you go, but the only other good news that I've heard, which is pretty arcane, but, you know, I'm into these things, is that the latest round of the Doha talks, you know, the trade talks.
Yeah.
They've collapsed.
Oh, yeah. I'm
really glad, you know, because it's like, you read the New York Times, it's like, oh, no, it's a problem. But it's like, yeah, it's a problem for these neoliberal pigs who want to open the market and be damned what happens to those poor people. So, to me, I think it's a...
Well, look what they collapse over, though, Sandra.
Well, it collapsed because, I know exactly what it collapsed over because...
Food security.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as hunger and famine and starvation.
And they want these countries to continue to annihilate their own agriculture base while we subsidize our rice growers, for example, to the tune of $1 billion a year.
Or our sugar cane growers.
Right, right. You know, and so these countries are finally saying, listen, enough, you know, we need to build up our own infant industries ourselves before we compete with you.
Now, I do know what you mean, and frankly, I don't have the whole story here in front of me. I'm just looking at a digest version. But what do you want to bet, even if it doesn't show up in the story itself, because I don't expect journalism out of the journalism industry anymore. What do you want to expect that what do you want to bet that on the United States end of things that these so-called trade ministers had somebody from Monsanto and Archer Daniels Midland whispering in their little ears saying, we got to get the GM crops, we got to get the Roundup Ready corn into India, we got to breach the Asian market with our stuff, it's got to happen.
Well, no, but the thing is, though, it's the reason why they're failing is because the whole neoliberal liberalization of markets is an abject failure. We didn't become rich doing that, and these poor countries are never going to have a chance without some form of protectionist subsidies. All the things that we did to get our country to be an economic power, we don't want – it's like kicking the ladder from under these people. You see what I'm saying?
Well, exactly.
Joke.
Yeah.
Joke on the third world.
Yeah, and it was, you know, we're going to treat you like we've always been treating you. We got a new name. We're going to call it the World Trade Organization, but it's the World Colonial Trade Organization,
you know,
okay?
It's unbelievable, and it's great that they collapsed in the face of food riots. It's like, well, you can't talk around that, and these countries want to stay in power, so they're not going to open up their markets when their people are about to upend their little power that they have. You know, India and China, they're not stupid. They have protections in place for what little farming they do have. And the U.S., they want those markets so bad they can just taste it, right?
Right, along the lines of some of the things that Gandhi said a long time ago about a free India, he said a free India has to be able to feed itself.
Well, no, and the thing is, though, these countries should be able to feed themselves. A country like India, you know, has immense farm resources, yet by allowing these agribusinesses in there to disturb their thousands of years of seed production, the way they handle their seeds, it's just a nightmare what's going on there. So it's about time that these countries stepped up and said no for a minute. You know,
and you can't help but be proud of them for doing it.
I'm sorry, I have to say, because, you know, if you look into trade policy at all, you know, you see that it's so unfair, and it's straight up do as we don't do.
Well, and another little piece of arcana before you go, Sandra, I was, it's not often I find myself saying that I'm proud of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but out there where you are, y'all have actually made it safe to sit down and eat in a restaurant now.
Oh, you mean with the trans thing?
Yeah, no trans fats in California restaurants. Hot damn.
Oh, I know. But see, Arnold was about to go up in smoke because he's trying to force, 200,000 state workers to work for minimum wage as a way of dealing with this budget crisis.
Right. Yeah. I saw that too.
He's going to lose because, that is not going to happen. Not with his rich, some rich bastard telling us that we got to work for nothing. What about your ass? And the legislators. Why don't they work for minimum wage?
Well, exactly.
It's such a really bad policy.
I've got a feeling I will not be back.
Well, he's not going to be back. This is his last term, but it's such a bad idea what he's coming up with. But we'll see. That's kind of a big news here at the moment because you can't force people into slave wages just because you don't have the political will to raise taxes like Reagan, Pete Wilson,
or to
did.
Right, or to quit doing the financial hoodoo, if you will.
Yeah, the fake bonds that they keep buying.
Right. The phony baloney stuff, and the market won't tolerate it anymore.
Yeah, and the thing is, and I don't mean to keep saying raise taxes. What I'm trying to put out there is that all of his Republican predecessors did it. So stop lying. Reagan did it in California. Pete Wilson did it. And Duke Mason. They all have to raise taxes during these budget crises. They need to repeal Prop 13. I mean, I can go on. California is just kind of its own world as far as the politics go. But
it's its own country, really, when you get right down to
weak,
it.
Man, he's weak because his solutions aren't going to pan. They're just not going.
No, and at some point in time, we're going to have to sit down nationally and have a discussion about what we want out of the country, what we want out of our states, our counties, our towns, and our neighborhoods. And if we want anything, it's going to have to be paid for.
Yeah, but that's on the other hand, that is good about the trans fat, and I'll give them credit for that, to end on a upbeat note.
Well, I think that was handed to him, too. It wasn't his idea.
Yeah, well, anyway. Okay, well,
all right.
Have a good evening.
Sandra, you take care.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, rolling along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Albert?
Hey, beautiful opening. Wonderful conversation with Sandra. Once again, you guys preempt me. But you guys are good. Can't help it. Anyway, I watched an interesting documentary this weekend. It was called The Fourth World War, The March to It, or How It's an Ongoing Process. And essentially what you guys were talking about, I mean, after watching this, what it did was it put a frame around the conversation, around the whole subject. It's one of those things that's really tough to pin down, but once you actually sit there and look at it and realize that it's a war, it just looks different in each area. Then you can actually almost, in a sense, you almost feel you could see its mechanisms. When you sit there and you look at Iraq, and those people are just taking the summer off. See, come on now. You know what you'd do. You make it hot for a while, then you cool off and you let them get comfortable. That's the way you fight a guerrilla war. That's the way you fight an insurgency. You can't go all out all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just can't. Just like, well, in a sense, we can't. But because in a sense, we're fighting the same thing. We're sitting there talking about these third world, and they got what? Africa, the entire continent of Africa has 1% of world trade. These people, they don't want aid. They don't want aid. They want some trade. They want to be able to sell their coffee.
Right, but whether it's the United States, whether it's European states, whether it's China or India, we still see places like Africa as a great big fruit tree laden, heavy laden with fruit, ready to be plucked. And that's why these deals go on where China shows up in a country and says, we'll build you hydroelectric projects and we'll build you this, that, and the other thing, and we're going to, and it's all going to work out in a trade for guns and planes and missiles and, no tractors, no farm implements, no land reform. No, we're going to mine your uranium and pay you in firearms.
Yep. And that's just the real shame. I mean, I think if all the world's wealth was distributed evenly as it is, if the wealth of the people was, that was under their feet and that's theirs, you know, this world would be a different place. It would be a much different place. But, you know, that's the same thing, man. You know, you're talking about, you know, just like they know, just like the shtick of the right wing to be online, you know, all over the place, you know, spewing their crap, you know, feeding the dummies that were going to a church. Man, see, I got to say it again. I just got to say it again. You know, if you got, go find a liberal cop shop or something like that. If you're going to be a tough guy and you're going to go sit there and shoot up a place, go out like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Go out like the Terminator. Do it. We'll still be talking about you in 2 weeks.
But that was the thing. He was going to commit suicide by cop was an afterthought. Because everything that's coming out about this guy, not that anybody's interested anymore, at least not from the for-profit media standpoint, everything about this guy indicates that his brain was rotten. Now, I don't think he was criminally insane. I don't think he falls within that definition of the term. But his brain was rotten, Albert, and his brain was rotten from the Hannity and the Savage and the O'Reilly and all the filth that he got day in and day out. That stuff's poison for your intellectual processes. And eventually what happened is because he was told that his problems had nothing to do with his drinking, his problems had nothing to do with the education he had or hadn't gotten, his problems had nothing to do with... No, it was all those liberals and those gays. Because it's 24/7 on liberals and gays, gays and liberals and gays, secular humanists, culture war, liberals and culture gays. And so he's driven... You know, the woman that he threatened to blow away, wife number four, was it? A few years back, had briefly attended this church in Knoxville. And they've got a sign outside that says, "We welcome gay people." Well, that might as well have been a target now, hadn't it? So, and he figures, well, you know, they're a bunch of liberals. They won't fight back. I'll take 76 rounds of number 4 shot 12-gauge ammunition in there, and I'll kill them all. But they found out that liberals aren't quite that passive. And that, yeah, and yeah, liberals have values. And there are things that are worth laying down lives over. And he killed, but he didn't kill near as many as he wanted to, because there was a guy without a gun who walked right into a shotgun blast and took him down. And the rest of them jumped on him and piled on him. They tied him up with belts, for God's sakes, Albert. And he was laying there on the floor.
Liberal commies! Morians! You know, let's just laugh. It's all right to laugh now. I know. It's a horrible thing, but it's all right to laugh now, because I'll tell you, that's how these guys are. Man, they're just jokers. They're the ones that live in their mom's basement and send, you know, baking soda to Jon Stewart and Keith Olbermann. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then pray that the judge is liberal.
Yeah, so that he won't. Right. Yeah, Tennessee got them a death penalty, I'll bet you. But you know what? I'm gonna stay true to my values. I don't want that man executed. I want that man sitting in a cell for however much longer he has on planet Earth. And I would like it if people could come by and say, "Look at it, Mommy. Look at it. There's the monster that wanted to kill all the liberals."
Or even better, let him live long enough to see victory.
Oh yeah. I want him to have on January 20th, 2009. I want him to have the seat right smack dab in front of the television for Inauguration Day, if we can just get Barack Obama elected.
Yeah, I think we can. They're getting so desperate.
Well, what do you make? Well, then what do you make of these this new poll? The poll that says Obama's down 4 points now. I mean, granted, it's a national poll and it's this far out and yada 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 yada, but still,
nothing. I don't give it nothing. That don't faze me in the least. My information comes from a different. It's just, you gotta, you just feel it. You just know. You just look at it. It's like, you know, looking at a color and knowing what it is. I mean, you can sit there and just, man, their polls don't mean anything. The only thing that it is smokescreen, but I honestly don't think they're going to be able to pull smokescreen. I know that there are dummies out there, and I know there are thousands of them. But, man, anybody I've ever looked in the eyes can't sit there and try to say that what he did is a, you know what I mean? Like, what he did is something even, I don't even human. But you also got to look at
the, yeah, but by the same token, I really do object, Albert. I really do object to this. Oh, he's crazy.
No. I understand what you're, I hear you. But however, it's not even so much that he's crazy, it's just that.
He's evil. He's evil.
He is, he's evil. But he did what a lot of them would love to do. But there's such cowards that, like, even him, it's just pathetic. He's just a pathetic.
Well, here, you want some of the fun stuff from Free Republic?
Please.
Sorry, no. You buy your ticket. You takes the ride.
Amen.
Our news ninja Gene sent this along yesterday evening. Let's see. Actual honest to God Freeper quotes. How very sad. I wonder if this is a gun free church.
This is stupid.
You don't know many Unitarians, do you? It's a progressive church. They probably had the vagina monologue scheduled for the evening service. It was probably a mini rally for the Obamasiah, and they were all singing, "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow." Otherwise, a musical about a poor orphan who's befriended by a rich capitalist doesn't really fit the UU agenda. Now, maybe if there were a lesbian relationship between Annie and Mommy Warbucks, or Annie got pregnant and had to go out and raise money for an abortion, that would be a truly part of the UU worldview. Talking about the man, Mr. Greg McKendry, who was killed. He did die doing good, which is nice, but if his choice of churches is any indication, he died without knowing Christ. Death without Christ equals eternal separation from God equals hell.
Oh, God. Oh, man. It's not even real.
I figured it was a progressive. I heard that it was a progressive church and that it promoted homosexuality, and that figured into the reasoning of the shooter.
No way.
It was a New Age church. What do you expect? God is not in the center of this church. Human beings are.
Oh, Bob. They don't need. You don't gotta paint anything for them. Those people are just
psychopaths, sociopaths. I mean, within the textbook definition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, fourth edition, people without conscience, and maybe that's the sum total and effect of what happens to your brain when you listen to this filth for 20 years. Like I said, 20 years it's been going on, 20 plus years it's been going on now, and it's saturated the sponge that is our culture. And maybe the effect, Albert, is that maybe it's a conscience killer. Maybe that's what right-wing hate is. It kills your conscience, and it turns you into a psychopath zombie.
Greedy, self-possessed.
I mean, these people elected a guy. These people elected a guy who, by his own admission, liked to blow up frogs.
Yep.
That's Jeffrey Dahmer stuff.
Yep. That's a twisted thing. I never did anything like that as a kid. I just couldn't. I mean, bugs. Yeah, I fried a few ants here and there, but I even feel bad about that. But tell you what,
oh, God, you liberal.
My house.
Yeah.
Well, don't break into my house, Mr. Conservative, because there will be a dead body in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at the same time,
that's the thing. This is a clarion call to liberal America.
Right.
This is a wake-up call.
But see, Bob,
I mean, and I'm not saying everybody go buy a gun, but you know what? If you don't have a ball bat in your house, because you know what? A guy running at you with a ball bat is terrifying to a guy breaking into a home.
Yep.
You know what? This creepy-ass shooter in Knoxville was probably wetting his pants when that guy was coming at him. Well, wait, what are you doing? You're supposed to stand there and let me shoot all you liberals. What are you? Oh, no!
Yeah. Why aren't you crying?
Yeah, beg for, oh, yeah. And that's what they get from their little right-wing movies and so forth.
Yeah, well, that's what he's got to get his little chubby. That's how he gets his erections, you know. So there are sick bastards out there like that. There ain't no doubt about it. But you see now, I think Randy Rhoads was hitting it a little earlier, and you just totally just capped it and just made it just perfect with your intro. And you sit there and you look at this. The desperation, it's just unbelievable. It's causing this kind of stuff, and I think the more that they do this kind of stuff, I think people are awake to this. You know, we haven't had any raises since the 70s, and freaking economy's going to complete, utter, total collapse. I mean, you don't even hear about the Fed taking over banks. Have you been hearing about that? But they've been doing it.
You know, I had that in the list on Saturday, and it was off the list by Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
But, yeah, the Fed took over two more collapsed banks in Nevada, Arizona, and California.
Yep.
But don't worry, depositors. Yep. The federal government conveniently arranged a buyout.
Huh.
I forget which bank bought whom, but the banks will reopen on Monday, and all your money will be safe, and everybody's deposits are insured up to $100,000. Screw the insurance. I don't bank for the insurance policy.
Nope.
I mean, it's great that the FDIC is there, but the last time the FDIC had to do a bunch of bailouts, why did we have to do a bunch of bailouts? Well, we had to do a bunch of bailouts because of, among other things, old 894, John McCain. And we had to do bailouts because of Silverado Savings and Loan and Neil Bush. Who got bailed out? The investors got their money protected to a certain extent, but the people who got bailed out were the people who did not go to prison. John McCain, Neil Bush, who should have been in striped clothing making little rocks out of big rocks, Albert.
Yep. Well, they can afford, that's because they run the show, and that's the Fourth World War, Bob. That's the Fourth World War. They run the show. And they know it. Man, you got these little generals in Africa, or even Nelson Mandela himself. They all sell out to the IMF and the World Bank and all these. And that's just the arm. That's one of the mechanisms of it. You know, they have us fighting amongst ourselves. They get one president to deregulate the media. The next thing you know, we've had 20 years of this junk. And further, you know, no fairness doctrine. Oh, no this, no that. FCC, you can own as many corporations and newspapers and TVs as you want. We could have just one big TV. That would be the best. That'd be the most convenient. Just one channel with everything on it. You know, I mean, you sit there and you look at it. It's designed this way. I'm not surprised that these guys get bailed out. How can you be surprised? That's, to me, I know I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying people shouldn't be surprised. This is how you predict the future.
This is the corporate socialism that Johnston was talking about.
Amen. Which is called fascism.
When you wake up in the morning and you pick up the paper and you find that umpty billion dollars has been pulled out of the United States collective wallet to make sure that the guy who ruined Bear Stearns in the first place gets to maintain the standard of living to which he has become accustomed, as though it were the pleadings in some sort of twisted psychotic divorce, and he's doing it on your nickel?
No. He should be digging the holes with a pickaxe for the windmills that we need to put up.
Screw that. I want him to do it with a teaspoon.
No, I want the job to get done. So we got to get a pickaxe for him.
Well, we'll leave him in his own little private hole. Because, you know, these are right-wing corporatists. They can't be trusted to do anything right.
True.
You know, the $40 million prison in the desert in Iraq I was talking about last night? Duh.
Oh, it's not going to cost $40 million. What, $40 million? You said? No, it'll probably cost $400 million by the time they're done.
No, they've given up on it.
Oh, they've given up on it. Oh, good. Yeah, we'll just write that off and start all over.
Yeah, and it was cost almost $40 million, but the contractor made a cool $18 million off of doing nothing.
No.
And then it left all the old wire and the rebar and the fencing and the bricks and the blocks just laying around. And you know what? Stuff disappeared.
I won't imagine that. Just like those that ammunition, all that ammunition and all that. You know, it's they just man, Bob, their feet. This is how they're feeding not only the corporations to get involved with doing this, you know, giving, you know, 18-year-old kids that form a corporation and giving them a $400 million ammunition con.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that dude for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I really hate him.
You know, oh, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Did you see the Blackwater stuff lately?
Oh, what are they doing? They're building a camp down by the...
No. This is all new. This is new accounting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that a whole bunch of the contracts that Blackwater got were from the Small Business Administration. Only problem was, Blackwater, under no set of circumstances, qualifies as a small business.
Yeah. But see, I would qualify as a small business.
Yeah, that's supposed to be financing out there for the lady who has spent her life becoming a master quilter and wants to open a shop selling quilts and quilting supplies. And there's a little bit of, you know, there's a couple of $100,000 to get her started. That kind of thing. The guy who's got the genius dream for the restaurant, even if he's probably going to fail, that money's there for him to try.
Yep.
Okay, the guy who wants to open the microbrewery.
See, that's the American way. It's meant for us. This stuff's meant for us.
No, but see, that's social, that's welfare if you let some entrepreneur who's never had $2 million to rub together in his life have that money. That's socialism. If you give $7 billion to Bear Stearns, however, well, that's America. Let's all stand up and say the pledge.
But, you know, Bob, honestly, I mean, one more time, the last time I'm going to say it, because it's too rich, but I'm never going to forget it, and let's never forget it. I even forgot the guy's name, but the maniac in the church, he was on food stamps.
Yeah, Atkinson, sure. Yeah, he was eating on less than $3 a day.
Food stamps, the guy is on food stamps. Now, I ain't trying to disrespect anybody's need to go on food stamps. Myself has been included in that as a child, okay? They're there to help people when they need it, okay?
Yeah.
But listen to that. That's the bottom of the barrel. We have pulled back, and the 28% is there, and now the sunlight is exposed to them, and they are freaking out, okay? That 28%, even that. The majority of that 28% freaky conservatives, they're just brainwashed fools, like the food stamp conservative murderer, okay? It's the little tiny group that controls that group, which is the one that always puts out these mind memos.
This is what makes people crazy, too, because yeah. what you've got there is... you've got inside this guy's skull, and I'm not qualified to make this diagnosis, but you've got to have some sort of cognitive dissonance going on in there, because the guy's sitting there going, I'm almost 60 years old, I am screwed, I have screwed myself, I'm down to the point where I'm living on food stamps, they're cutting my food stamps. Food stamps has been the only thing that has stood between me and starvation, and yet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without fail, what he gets, because you know, maybe he can't even afford cable television.
Mm.
What
AM
he gets,
radio,
what he gets is what comes in over the AM radio.
Oh.
And what comes over the AM radio is pure, unmitigated, set the Geiger counter off radioactive filth.
That's right.
And so the facts that. Because the way it's presented, and you've got to listen to this stuff for a while to really, really understand the sickness of it, and I have. The way it's presented, though, is that, you know, you'll get some specifics. And, oh, the welfare state and the liberal nanny state, and the liberals want to tell you how to live your life. That's right. They want to tell me how to live my life. They want to tell me I can't have my food stamps anymore. And meanwhile, it's a liberal program. But because this stuff is just getting packed and jammed and stuffed inside your brain 24/7, you fall asleep with it on, and you dream of Rush Limbaugh, and you hear O'Reilly howling in your subconscious, and the next thing you know, you're waking up, you're sawing the barrel off your shotgun, and off to the Unitarian Church you go. Wow, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a facet of it. That is a facet of all of us. But at the same time, that's why I'm just got to say that they're just done. They're done. I don't think people can go back to sleep again for a while. I think it's more and more people, you know, they're such a minority now, okay? They are just such a tiny little, they're vocal, and they got money, because the ones that brainwash them are the little people that have all the money. You know, they want it like this. They want this divide and conquer strategy.
Oh, sure they do. And you know what? I just got a little reminder from our buddy Reverbo, who sent me a couple of gems from George Carlin last week. And it's an interesting little tie together, because one of the stories that precluded any follow-up to this Knoxville story from climbing onto CNN's, you know, top stories, you know, besides the story about you know, Anderson Cooper staring down a shark or what the hell ever, was a story about, you know, George Carlin gets last laugh on death. And it was this complete miserable puff piece that said, toward the end of his life, George Carlin said in one of his last routines that he was having fun pretending to have Alzheimer's with his friends and neighbors. He said, yeah, every now and then I look up and I look at everybody and go, who the hell are you and where's my pony? You know, har, har, har. But no, the stuff that was really important, no, didn't quite make the article. And Reverbo sent this along, and this is exactly what you're talking about, Albert. It's exactly what I'm talking about. It's what Sandra was talking about. It's, hell, it's practically a theme of the show. Carlin said, I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. You know what they want? Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork, but just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it, and now they're coming for your Social Security. They want your fucking retirement money, they want it back, and so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street, and you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all sooner or later, because they own this place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. Well,
man.
You know, we can play the closing music and leave now, can't we, Albert?
Not quite. He can, we can't. We have to finish on and continue this fight. And the way we do that, hate to be all Alex Jones, but I do like his term about InfoWars. Don't hate the media, become the media.
Oh, I'm okay with that. I just, yeah.
No, I know. You
know my objections.
I'm the media. I don't let anybody escape eye contact with me without at least feeling them out. I tell that to people all the time. Democracy is not in our government. It's in the streets. If the more people that you wake up just in line in a store, you know, right here we're in church.
You know, I'd like to see. It's like what we were doing back at the beginning of the month, Albert. Back at the beginning of the month, you know, with the 4th of July happening on a Friday, then you know, we did the on Thursday, I did the reading from the Declaration of Independence. We need a very simple congressional law, and how in the world is Congress or could Congress or the president veto this law, and what kind of thug bastard would challenge it in court? We need a law that simply says. It's kind of, you know how they want to pray before football games and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need a very simple law that says on the 4th of July, before anybody sets off the fireworks at a fireworks display, there has to be a reading of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, we're going to give you the light show, but first you got to hear the reason. Because yeah, isn't that what we put up? At, you know what? We're coming up on the beginning of August. What is it? 30 days till they start the right-wing countdown to the war on Christmas? And we got to see the bumper stickers that say, Jesus is the reason for the season.
They will, and that'll be funny.
But no. As somebody who loves this country more than he loves any damned organized religion, I'd like to see left-leaners, left-wingers, liberals, progressives, what the hell ever we're calling ourselves, I'd like to see us stand up and start a movement called the War on the Declaration of Independence.
The 4th of July is turning into Christmas with the fake Santa and Easter Bunny and all that other nonsense.
Sure.
It's becoming a commercial thing, you know, fireworks or... where they were illegal before and now somewhat legal, and now, you know, because it's an industry and it's a market and there's a market for it. And if there's, oh, that's a good marketing dollar. You know, the patriotic dollar, that's a good marketing.
Oh, and on July 4th, we're all fireworks consumers.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look at how pretty. Oh, that was a good one. That one sucked. Eventually, you know, oh, don't get any more of those. And that's, you know, give sparklers and all this other junk. And then they, you know, sell them to towns. The little local towns like my town around here, they pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to give the town a show. You know, that's money. I mean, that's money, and that's got, that money could buy...
And that is money that the townspeople will not tolerate not being spent.
Exactly. But
we get the 4th of July fireworks extravaganza. Well, fine. Okay, that's easy. Then let's just bootstrap a reading of the Declaration of Independence in front of that. And let's see if anybody's got the nerve to hoot or throw anything or shut up and sit down. I won't see my fireworks. You know, because I get to, you know, then I get to go and, you know, slap them in the face with the Declaration of Independence, whoever does that. And sit down, you unpatriotic puke.
That's right. Sit down. Where's your cedula?
Hey, Albert, I got to roll on, brother.
All right, brother. Pleasure as always. Thank you for sharing that, Carlin, with Carlin Quinton.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Reverbo, for reminding us both.
Amen. All right, brother. You take care.
All right. Later, Albert.
Bye-bye.
Bye. From the far reaches of wild Wisconsin, our buddy Albert. And rolling onward. Oops. Well, okay. Hey, welcome to the program. Well, hey, Bob, how in the world are you?
Still breathing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, how on the world are you?
Well, I'm still held down by gravity.
and let's hear it for gravity. You know, it never walks out on us.
I was listening to that, you know, the fireworks, and everybody's got to be a patriot and all that stuff. It's interesting. It really is. You know?
Well, no. If the right wing can demand that we read the little nativity story at Christmas, and that, you know, we'll boycott Target if they don't say Merry Christmas.
Why?
Well, if they can do all that crazy crap, can't we do something that actually matters around Independence Day?
I agree. I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder. I really do. You know, people have made a great deal about what was that June. The 6th, 1944, or was it 45? Huh? You know, you make a big deal about D-Day.
Yeah.
So, you know what D-Day means?
It means Day-Day. I mean,
D-Day is debarkation day, okay? There's a debarkation line. It's the line you draw in the sand, Bob. Debarkation Day is the line you draw in the sand and you say, I'm going to cross this line. I'm not going to stand for this anymore. I'm going to invade Nazi Germany, Nazi France, Nazi Belgium, Nazi Europe. I'm going across that line on debarkation day. That's D-Day. And it happened. There were many D-Days. There was a debarkation line drawn in the sands of Iwo Jima. They debarked from the ships, and they went across that line, and they fought for what?
Well, they fought to try to stop what's happening to this country right now.
They fought against fascism. They fought against corporatism. They fought against this insidious beast that is trying to devour the earth, Bob. They fought against that. Those young men went across that line to fight against something they didn't understand about. You don't know. That day, they say it's D-Day. It's debarkation day. You debark from your ship, and you cross that line, and you fight for something. And it's, hey, Bob, I'm so tired of listening to the right wing talk about all their patriotism and throwing up their sparklers in the sky and their 4th of July. I'm talking about the kids, the men, the young women that stand today, stood back then to give us this moment in time, just this moment, to say enough. It's time that the American people wake up and cross that line and say, no more, no less. It's enough.
I think those folks in Knoxville crossed that line, Bob.
Good.
Because they had a madman, a crazed right winger with a sawed-off shotgun aiming at him.
And they wouldn't take it.
They wouldn't take it, Bob. They tackled that bastard. Not a one of them had a gun. They tackled that bastard and they stopped him before he could make it any worse than he already had.
Remember what he was. He wasn't liberal. You know, I can remember learning about Bob Kincaid, his left, what was that, you were born with?
Oh, born with two left feet? Yeah, oh yeah, all of that.
Two left feet, two left shoes? Yeah, I can remember learning about you back in the day when the thing first started. Now it's time that we all understand what liberalism is. It's a disease to the right wing because they're afraid of us, Bob. They fear people that just love each other just because we are. I have never met you, Bob Kincaid. I have never met your lovely lady. I have never met Agnes. I have never met your children. But I know you. I know your heart. I know your soul, son. You embody that of American patriotism that is real. That part that says, we the people, not just Bob in North Dakota or Bob down there in West, by God, Virginia, okay? But we the people. And it's us, Bob. It's your lovely Agnes, my beautiful Brenda, and my children, your children, all the children of this earth, the Iraqis, the Iranians, the Palestinians, every child on this planet is born with that beautiful thing in their soul, that piece of them that says, I'm a free man, I'm a free woman, I have the right to exist, and you right wing pieces of animal excrement, okay? I mean, I didn't even say, what is that, bovine cattle.
Right.
Like that right-wing Nazi bastard that invaded Iraq the first time. See, I didn't even, I said animal excrement. And that's what I think of these right-wingers, Bob. They are not even worthy to come out of us. Human anus. They have to come out of an animal anus. They are not just because they're people, Bob. Not because they're some Unitarian church or some other kind of church or something that believes in some deity. They're just human beings that love one another. And they go to this one place to foster that love between them, the fathers, the mothers, children, and the grandchildren, the great-grandpas like me. We look at those little ones as something very, very special. And we think of them as carrying on our belief in one another. Not that we believe in some great by-and-by. We believe in each other, Bob, as I believe in you and Agnes and the family. And I believe in Head On Radio. I believe that you are the embodiment, the person that has the same kind of spirit as I. Not that I know you, but I know you for what you are, because you are my friend. Not because I understand every thought that goes through that, well, that brain, the skull. I understand every thought, but I do know this, that if I care about you, then I care about myself. That person had been indoctrinated by some kind of propaganda, right-wing filth, scum. The lowest piece, the lowest denominator in all of the universe ran through his veins, and it runs through every Republican vein, because they believe they are better than us. They believe that they, only they, have keys to the kingdom, which, Bob, honestly, none of us have. No man knoweth that time, that God or whomever, whatever deity they believe in, is going to call the ball and say, that's the end, okay, bang, boom, end of the universe. Nobody knows. Not the scientist, not the theist, not the theologist or the theist, not the Jews, the Gentiles, we can go down the list, okay? But no one can know the day and the moment when it's over. So let us stop there and say, I don't give a hoot in hell about the 4th of July. It means nothing to an old veteran that fought for this flag that you wave so proudly on the 4th of July. But I think about the boys that stood on that day when that, you know, what was that song that Preston wrote? Oh, say, can you see?
Oh,
by the dawn's early light.
Yeah, Francis Scott Key, sure.
Yeah, okay. Let us go back to that day. He was sitting on board a British ship in the harbor. A
prison ship, sure.
As they bombarded those boys and girls, okay? And that's where the Republicans are, sitting on the British ship, bombing the hell out of the young men and women, and they're all screaming, okay, oh, say, can you see, okay? But those boys and girls, Obama went there. He said what he said. He did what he did, and he was magnificent.
Right, and that's why the right wing commentators had to spin so hard, Bob, because they couldn't draw the. There were let's just go through a little bit of history real quick. When John Kennedy went to Berlin and spoke, he spoke to an assembled crowd of nearly 500,000 people. When Ronnie Reagan went and said, hey, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, mommy." When he did that, they had an assembled audience of 20,000.
I know.
Obama went and had 200,000. So rather than, they couldn't compare him to Reagan because it far outstripped anything that their saint and hero Reagan did, Bob. So, and they couldn't compare him to John Kennedy because that was the obvious comparison that was inside the mind of everybody who saw him going to Berlin. So what does a guy named Charles Krauthammer, okay, this right-wing goober, a guy named Charles Krauthammer, what does he do? He compares Obama to Adolf Hitler.
Okay. Wait a minute, Bob. You said the magic word. Charles Krauthammer?
That's his name.
A Kraut hammering on a black American that is...
Yeah, the imagery wasn't lost on me, Bob.
Bob, let's stop. Let's stop for a moment. We have a beloved candidate. I say that in the same context as Whoopi Goldberg and the girls back into, and even, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say beloved candidate by the name of Barack Obama. He is not a black man. He is not a white man. He is all of us embodying.
He's a human.
He is every man. He is my man. And I swear to you, Bob, I won't go into the ground unless I at least once, maybe twice. And if, please God, give me this victory that we can abolish this second term thing and make Obama become the new Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Well, let's get him there the first time before we do any of that, Bob.
For 12 or 14 or 15.
Yeah, we got to get him there the first time, and that's going to be hard enough work.
No, it's not, Bob. It's not. Because here in this country, we have gotten past. We have listened to this for the last 20 years? This right wing, and I mean right wing. I'm not saying right wing. I'm saying right wing. We have lived under this Republican, and I mean Republican. I'm not saying Republican. These people that call themselves Republican are really pigs, Bob. They want to suck the marrow out of the bones of your children. They have no love of country. They only love one thing, and that's money, Bob. They don't love mankind. And that is something, if I want to go back to Scripture, if you love money above God, then...
The love of money is the root of all evil. Absolutely.
That's true. And that's all it's all about, Bob. These Republicans, and I mean pigs, these filthy Republicans are not worthy to even, put this these individual by the name of John McCain up in front of them as a war veteran. He was a pilot that bombed little babies out of their bedrooms. He did not fight on the ground against an enemy. He was captured. And then he was tortured. And he was tortured to the point where...
Before he was tortured, his life was saved.
Yeah, and so, And he stayed in a prison for a long time, came back, and I swear to you, John McCain is not my equal. He is the Manchurian candidate. He truly is. He was tortured by the communist to come back to this country to try to become the president of the United States, the most powerful office on this planet, to what? Kowtow to the corporations and I don't think of China as a communist country anymore. It's a capitalist country. It is capitalist. They got more smog in Beijing than they got in Los Angeles right now, Bob. More smog. forget what small they can't even hold the Olympics.
Look, it's...
Oh, I'm running.
There's so much. There is so very much, Bob. And, you know, don't be such a stranger. We'll save it again for another night, all right?
Love you. Tell Agnes that, hey, you know, Glenda loves her.
I sure will. We were talking about y'all just the other day. All right.
Well, I hope you were.
They were good. They were good and happy thoughts, and they always are.
Take care, my friend. Love you much.
All right. We love you too, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. There is so much truth in what Bob offers. I want to share a little something else with you before we go back to the phones, and I will go almost immediately to the phones. But I got to share this with you. A little bumper sticker you may see in various places around the country. This is an older photograph. This goes back a couple of years. This is a photograph of a bumper in San Francisco during a gay pride rally a couple of years back. Big old bumper sticker. Yellow. Looks like a hunting license. It's got a big red outline of the United States in it. It says, special issue, resident, permanent, no expiration. Liberal hunting permit. No bag limit. Tagging not required. May be used while under the influence of alcohol. May be used to hunt liberals at gay pride parades, Democrat conventions, union rallies, handgun control meetings, news media association, lesbian luncheons, and Hollywood functions. May hunt day or night, with or without dogs. I've seen it before. Just sort of reminded of it a few minutes ago. This is where attacks on churches begins. With a bunch of bubbas sitting around looking at this sticker and saying, I'm going to put this on my church. Dang, that's funny. I don't care who you are, liberal hunting permit. Wouldn't you love to? How about that? May hunt day or night with or without dogs. I think that'd be funny turning dogs loose on them. On the liberals, they're hating America and killing America. From roughly the same time period, this is from a blog called Orsinus. From roughly the same time period, a quote from a guy named John Carlson on a radio station by the name of KVI discussing the Dick Durbin controversy. Remember when Dick Durbin told the truth on the floor of the Senate about what was being done at Abu Ghraib? He said, when you read some of the graphic descriptions of what has occurred here, I almost hesitate to put them on the record, and yet they have to be added to this debate. Let me read to you what one FBI agent saw, and I quote him from his report. On a couple of occasions, I entered interview rooms to find a detainee chained hand and foot in a fetal position on the floor with no chair, food, or water. Most times they urinated or defecated on themselves and had been left there for 18 to 24 hours or more. On one occasion, the air conditioning had been turned down so far and the temperature was so cold in the room that the barefooted detainee was shaking with cold. On another occasion, the air conditioner had been turned off, making the temperature in the unventilated room well over 100 degrees. The detainee was almost unconscious on the floor with a pile of hair next to him. He had apparently been literally pulling his hair out through the night. On another occasion, not only was the temperature unbearably hot, but extremely loud rap music was being played in the room, and it had been since the day before, with the detainee chained hand and foot in the fetal position on the tile floor. And then Durbin said, if I read this to you and did not tell you that it was an FBI agent describing what Americans had done to prisoners in their control, you would most certainly believe that this must have been done by Nazis, Soviets in their gulags, or some mad regime, Pol Pot or others, that had no concern for human beings. Sadly, this is not the case. This was the action of Americans in the treatment of their prisoners. And Rush Limbaugh took off in a mad rush, and he said, these are the same...
These are the same people they say who support the troops. This is how they do it, huh? They give and they give aid and comfort to the enemy. They make it possible for Mullah Omar and bin Laden, whoever else is out there still alive, to laugh themselves silly at us. Mogadishu all over. Remember what bin Laden said after we cut and run out of Mogadishu? That's when I knew the U.S. was a paper tiger, he said. That's when I knew they didn't have the guts. That's when I knew they couldn't take casualties. And that's what fueled his planning for 9/11. He has said so, so bammo! Here you go, Dick Durbin. Thanks once again for telling our enemies just what a bunch of soft patty cakes we are, and how we'll back away from our own treatment of people, much less back away from dishing it out to people like our enemies.
That's when John Carlson, on his Seattle-based talk show, said of Dick Durbin, Senator Dick Durbin, "This man is simply a piece of excrement, a piece of waste that needs to be scraped off the sidewalk and eliminated." Liberal hunting permit. Did you see that? No bag limit. May be used while under the influence of alcohol. I am grateful unto Almighty God, whatever it may be, that I haven't seen one of those in the last 2 or 3 days. Because I don't think I could stop myself. I don't think I could stop myself from saying something to the owner of that kind of filth. And I have seen him around here. Liberal hunting permit. And they made Dick Durbin apologize for reading that FBI report into the record. They made him apologize for it. They screamed for it from the rooftops. Hannity screamed for it. Limbaugh screamed for it. O'Reilly screamed for it. Savage screamed for it. Bortz screamed for it. Levin screamed for it. Gallagher screamed for it. Every last right-wing gas bag in this country screamed themselves blue in the face for it, demanding that Dick Durbin apologize for telling the truth about what this criminal administration had been done, had done, had ordered done, had authorized done from the top down in Iraq. And they made Dick Durbin apologize. And the ignorant, moronic, homicidal, redneck horses' asses went up and down the road with their liberal hunting permit stuck to the bumpers of their SUVs and their pickup trucks, talking about how the liberals is a ruin in America, while even at the same time, scams were being foisted, financial dodges were being cooked up that would ruin working-class America. God Almighty. And then Sunday happened. And then Sunday happened. Liberal hunting permit. Damn, that's funny. I don't care who you are. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. This is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
You sound good.
Well, thank you.
There was something about that I heard in the last presidential election. I happened upon a program with Hannity and, who's the guy that knows all about raising children, you know, the great Christian?
Oh, James Dobson?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that once got grown men to.
And he was on the
men
show.
To, yeah.
And I always remember this. Hannity said, "Well, I'm going to the Democratic convention, and I really need your prayers to protect me." And James Dobson said, "Oh, yes."
Yeah, because those mean old liberals will rip you limb from limb. They'll eat your flesh.
You know, he's supposed to be a big Christian, you know. He claims he is. What's his face?
Oh, you mean
Hannity?
Yeah, the Hannity job, the life support system for a haircut.
Yeah. And another thing that I saw about Hannity was, did you ever see the documentary about when this college in Utah.
Oh yeah, the debate that he went to.
The one that well wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a debate.
Michael Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mama Michael Moore. You know, well, those kids that started that, and people wanted to see it. I mean, they gave them hell. And I never will forget when I saw Hannity. You know, he came in and he said, "Is there any liberals here?" And he said, "You liberal, 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 you liberal, liberal, liberal."
Oh yeah, I've seen the video, and the one lone kid stands up.
Yeah, and one of them was a professor. He just tried to make mincemeat out of him. What is the what's about them? I mean, there's nothing about them that's
they're bullies. They are bullies, Juanita. They are brutes.
Yeah.
They are inciters of riot, and they are advocates of murder.
And I said years ago, and you know Clinton even said it, I said it when I first started knowing Rush Limbaugh and this girl. And one of my jobs, she played the radio, and he was on, I think, 5 hours a day. And I just got sick and tired of him after so many months. I said, I can't take it anymore. Well, I think he's funny. I said, he's not funny. He's dangerous. Yeah, because, I don't know, there's a mindset, and you know what I'm talking about, in the Southern mindset. And then if you go to church, you get these, church is teaching them, you know, that the liberals are, you know, and you'll even hear phone calls such as on C-SPAN. All liberals need to be getting rid of, you know. And what are we, the Jews of today?
We are everything that has ever been, yes, we are every group that has ever been hated throughout history. We are the other. We are, and you know, never mind that we're not.
And you know what? Why do they want everybody to be alike, just like they are?
To a certain extent they do, but not really, Juanita. What they want us to do is get in line, shut up, and take their orders.
Right.
And follow them as they destroy this nation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want anybody hurt. I never preach any or mention or advocate any violence against anyone. But I do talk about learning facts, and I do talk about not being quiet, and I do talk about talking back.
Right.
Because we have gotten in the place we are because over the course of years, and it is a place that it's a bed that liberals and progressives have made for ourselves, especially the so-called elite. Whatever the hell that means, pardon my mouth.
Right.
But there's a group of people out there. Oh, I don't think talk radio is really anything we need to worry about. I mean, listen to that Limbaugh fellow. I bet he doesn't even know which fork to use with the shrimp. I bet he doesn't even know what the good caviar is. He's so ignorant. Who would ever listen to him?
Plenty, honey. Plenty.
Plenty. And so for years and years and years, even before the media ownership rules were changed, Juanita, liberals and progressives sat back and said, "Well, we don't want to fight back against him because he's just he's icky."
And you know, one thing is different about liberal talk shows, especially we'll berate our own.
You're darn straight because we're honest.
Right.
And I don't consider it berating so much as just calling attention to facts.
Right.
You know, when...
But them, it's them. Them, them, them.
Yeah, them, 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 they, hate, 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 other,
right.
other, right.
Right.
And if you take someone who is not a very sound mind to begin with...
Right.
You can make a killer out of them pretty quick.
Absolutely, absolutely. You surely can. We
and,
know that.
And they did.
Yeah, just like that guy that he dresses like a Nazi. I think he's in prison now. And he had his own church, and it wasn't a Christian church. It was some kind of Nazi church because he loved Adolf Hitler. And you remember when the guy went over to California and shot the little Jewish children?
Yes, I do.
He was a member of that church.
Sure.
And that guy was
there are fundamentalist Christians all over the Southeast who helped hide Eric Rudolph his long, long flight from justice. And there he stood at his sentencing hearing with a federal plea bargain in hand, negotiated by one of those bogus Bush administration U.S. attorneys.
Uh-huh.
And he got life. He got life in the federal penitentiary. Eric Rudolph did. When had it been a liberal, they would have been screaming for the death penalty. Here's George Bush. You know, he's been waiting a while to get to do it, but he's ordered the execution of a soldier. The first soldier to be executed by the federal government since Private Eddie Slovic in 1947, I think it was.
I
think it was Eisenhower who ordered his execution.
He's gonna love that. He'll probably be right there.
Oh, he will. He will. I mean, he'll get the same joy out of it that any psychopath gets out of killing. But the thing is, most people don't know the story behind that, and that is the guy, the soldier. Juanita, the soldier, had already been convicted of every crime he committed. He had been convicted in state court.
Uh-huh.
And had been sentenced to consecutive life terms without parole. But the Ronnie Reagan administration ordered him tried by the military.
Oh.
Because they wanted to execute him.
Yeah.
And now George Bush gets to flip the switch.
Yep.
And he is going to so get off on it.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Because these people are killers. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It gives me no pleasure to say it, Juanita, but they are. They are killers.
But we have to recognize the truth. My friend that's right wing, she said, I don't want to know all about that stuff. And I said, well, I want to know whatever God wants me to know. Because one time she was trying to hint that I was paying too much attention to politics. Well, that's none of her business. That's between me and God.
Sure it is. And frankly, your choice to be informed, your choice to be active, your choice to be intelligent is a far wiser choice than hers. You know, because you can put your head in the sand, but that does not... only an ostrich thinks that putting one's head in the sand makes what the problem is go away.
Right.
It doesn't.
I think it's to know the truth. So when Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. And there's a lot of different kind of truth. You know, it's not just... I wanted to say, too, that I heard somebody say something about Alex Jones.
Yes.
And I do like to listen to him sometimes. You know, I don't agree with... a lot that he says, but I do agree with a lot. But anyway, he said people were calling in and telling him that he couldn't be a Christian because he's talking about the government, and they brought up, I think it was Romans 13, you know, where you pray for the government and all.
Yeah.
But Jesus called Herod a fox, and he didn't mean it as a compliment. He called the ruling people, the Pharisees and all, he called them braves. And, you know.
Somewhere in there, there's a line about ye generation of vipers.
Yeah, I was coming up with that next. He called them all kind of stuff. And we're not supposed to? I never heard of that.
But see, I write off Paul right away. Paul had his motives for doing what he did. And he was trying to protect the fledgling movement that he had founded. Because Paul founded Christianity. What Paul founded had nothing to do with the life of Jesus Christ. Paul founded a death cult, okay? Because not a minute of Jesus' life matters for Paul until he gets the nails in him. And then all the magic happens and the death cult takes shape.
But and that's where you lose the teaching of Jesus. But you know, for me, no. What he said when he was alive is a lot more important. So I throw Paul out the window at the first opportunity I get, because he's hateful and he's useless. And in light of the fact that he was a tent maker, you know, sniffing all of those fumes, he's probably half insane. That's probably part of what caused him to go blind on the road to Damascus. Yeah, he's nuts. He's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, suffer not a woman to teach.
Well, it was killing the Christians.
Yeah, about half. I mean, he went back to Jerusalem and had it out with Peter and James and the real church. And he came away winning.
Yeah.
He got the win on that. And a little bit later, James gets thrown off the Temple Mount for, you know, being all, you know, wanting to feed the poor and all of that stuff. And Paul goes on to found what becomes known as modern-day Christianity, which has about as much to do with the life of Jesus Christ as a hog does with a Sunday suit.
Well, I do believe that a lot of people, especially I've noticed men in some of the churches, it seems like they are into Paul more than they are to Jesus. You know?
But
I bet you if he showed up today, they'd throw him out because he wouldn't look right.
No, he wouldn't look right. He'd be talking this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Most of evangelical Christianity is obsessed with two things. They're obsessed with the Old Testament, and they're obsessed with the New Testament, as long as it's not Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Now, they'll buy into some John once in a while, because there's a bunch of magical hogwash in John.
And you know I'm not agreeing with you about all this.
No. I'm just telling
you. I'm not going to argue.
No, I'm just telling you how, I'm telling you my interpretation and my understanding of it.
Yeah.
Because John gets written a whole lot later, and I mean, these are just facts. John gets written a whole lot later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't get written within 10 or 20 years. The first one's Mark. It gets written within maybe 10, 15, 20 years of the crucifixion. There's nothing that was written contemporaneous with the actual life of Jesus. All right? But so by the time you get to John, you get a lot of magical thinking that's been influenced by the mystery cults of the ancient Greco-Roman world, and then you get Paul, and then right-wing evangelical churches are a lot more likely to have sermons preached out of the Old Testament or out of everything or out of, you know, Acts, Romans, the flip-floppians, gelatations, or you know, whatever, than they are to have it preached out of Matthew, Mark, or Luke.
Well, I believe they're all connected, but Jesus makes the difference. I mean, just to be simplistic, he makes the difference. What, in my opinion, that's the way I see it. And,
well, yeah,
my beliefs have changed my life. And,
Jesus was a radical. Jesus was a radical.
Right.
That's why Gandhi said, "I admire Jesus."
Yeah.
In fact, he said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians because they are so unlike your Christ."
But definitely would not want him around, I mean, today.
No, Jesus would be responded to today by the Bush administration or by most of the mainstream governments of the world the same way that he was responded to by the mainstream governments of the world back then, as is the case with any radical reformer. They are not tolerated by the societies in which they arise. That's why even as far back as into the Old Testament, Juanita, you get that old Bible verse. I can't remember the chapter and verse, but, you know, a prophet is not welcome in his own land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're not, because the very nature of what they do is to speak up about the evil that they see transpiring in the place where they live.
Yeah.
You know, they're not equipped to talk about the evil that's transpiring in some other place because that's not the culture they came up in. So, you know, wow, that was a whole mouthful for me. Sorry about that. Juanita, I was kind of halfway expecting a view update because of what happened when Nancy Pelosi was on.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. I did see that. I missed the first 15 minutes today.
Well, bless her pointy little head. She said that she couldn't find anybody that could show her anything illegal that George Bush had done to support impeachment.
Right. And it's the same old thing she said before, you know, about, well, we have so many things to be done. We didn't look, I don't know. But the one thing I kind of liked what she said was she kind of gave Elizabeth back what she, you know,
I can well imagine that watching Nancy Pelosi deal with Elizabeth Hasselbeck is like watching a cobra play with a mouse.
Yeah, she was saying something to her. Well, you know, Obama never did say anything about the surge. He never did, you know. And she said, you know, you talked to me about that the last time I was here. She said, nothing's changed. I don't know, some way she said it. But I heard him say, I believe it was at the press conference in Jerusalem or in Israel, something about the surge. He did admit that the surge had helped some. Somewhere he said that. I don't think it was in the speech, I don't think it was in the Berlin speech.
No. And I know something was said along the way. Of course, I disagree. I don't think the surge has done a darn bit of good.
Because it's
all phony.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, he said it made more sense. I thought pretty much everything he said while he was overseas, and especially that speech, I thought was
to the extent that the surge has done anything, what it has accomplished a sort of natural outcome in that if you put more troops into a limited area, you will probably see a decrease in violence in that area for so long as those troops are there.
Right.
Now, the only problem is, sooner or later, we gotta leave.
Right.
And then the truth of the surge will come true, and how many people died from the three female suicide bombers yesterday?
What, 70-something?
Yeah, that surge. That surge sure is surging, isn't it? Yeah, that's some surge, that surge.
Yeah, I know, and she's got these little things. Elizabeth's got these little things, that talking points, but you can tell they're talking points. That's why I started watching it, because every time I would hear her say something, it would come out, and all the right-wingers would be talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Her fax machine or her inner tubes or whatever are hooked up directly to Fox News and the Republican National Committee, and she just pulls the daily talking points off the website, and you know, I have seen her a couple of times, and it's clear that she's not smart enough to do anything more than read what's in front of her. She's sort of like a trained circus act.
Well, she's got this thing like she feels like she's idealistic, and who's idealistic when they listen to all that junk? But I do notice, like, you know, that she talks about that. Well, she talks of their talking points, because I'll usually hear her first and then you'll hear it from the rest of it. And they'll try something, and if it doesn't stick, you know, like you throw macaroni up.
Yeah, throw
somewhere.
It against the wall and see if it sticks.
It doesn't matter if it's a big ball-faced lie or not.
No.
They don't mind lying like a rug or a dog or whatever.
They're like a dog on a rug. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A low-down, dirty rascal. Whatever.
Lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, every last one of them.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Juanita, I'm going to run along, but it's awful good to hear from you.
Oh, good to hear from you, too. And I was trying to get on last night, and I had to keep leaving.
Things
have something to do.
Well, things stacked up there for a little bit last night, and they stacked up again tonight.
Okay.
I'm so glad that you did get in, though.
I am, too.
You take care now.
You take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Our View correspondent, Juanita, calling from Florida. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing there?
Hey, Gary, what's up, man?
Hey, no, Mike. I'll be quick if you stacked up.
Go ahead.
You said something earlier I thought was, you know, interesting. I think you don't mind if I use it. You said something about listening to the sickness. I think I'm going to use that for now when I got to write some blogs.
Yeah, feel free. This whole program is out there for anybody to use any way they see fit.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to use when I see Sean Hannity or Rush or anybody. I'm just going to write in a blog, listening to the sickness. Hopefully they'll catch on.
Yeah, that's it.
I was listening to a little bit of the sickness today just to see what they're up to. I was listening to Hannity. So,
And what was that great patriot going on about today?
Well, I'm going to take something back to what I said last night. I was trying to humanize Sean a little bit last night, but now I've gone on to another level with Sean. And I say this as a person who's a Christian, and I usually don't say this often, but I think Sean Hannity either is a demon or he's definitely possessed. And I'm gonna tell you why. Today, have you heard about the story about Obama's note was stolen from the Western Wall?
Yeah, I have heard that.
Okay, well, you know, if people don't know, basically the Western Wall, where you put the note in when you do, you know, secret prayers or whatever. There's a wall where you just slide a note, and everybody does a pilgrimage there. They just do it. It's a sacred thing. Nobody's obviously supposed to take the note and read it. Anyway, as you know, as maybe some of you guys know, that, you know, a student, a student, took the note. And then one of the major Israeli newspapers printed what was written in the note. So now all these, you know, as you know, probably read as well, people are now in Jerusalem. I was reading the Jerusalem Post and a couple other papers today. They're asking Jewish people to boycott it because they just think this is the worst thing in the world for someone to do.
It was pretty slimy, and a lot of even Orthodox rabbis are really, really hot under the collar about it.
And then for a newspaper, maybe a newspaper to even print it, it's like, when I thought about it, I was like, that is crazy, you know? I mean, have people gone Obama crazy?
Gary, what did they expect to find when they opened it up? Dear God, I am a secret Muslim, love Obama. I mean, what?
You know, I don't even know if they were looking at it. I think it's just more the fascination of it. I mean, maybe there's a little bit of that in there, but I think it's just more the fascination of it. But I guess what my point was I was going to go to it, to shift to it, is this. Sean Hannity was talking about it today on his show. Now, he goes ahead and reads the note on air. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with this guy? You know, what really is wrong with it? And not only does he go that box, he then blames Obama, saying that this was a PR stunt, by the Obama campaign.
Right. Obama had the student go and grab it on the sly so he could get PR out. There's no end of the sickness, is there, Gary?
That's what I said. When I heard that, when I really listened to it, I said, you know, I got to call Bob back tonight because I said something that was wrong. I said, Sean Hannity's not even humanizing anymore. This guy is a true demon. I mean, I listened to a little bit more of his stuff today, and I know he lies every day, but I think after this, he just amplified all his lies. This guy is really, like, truly a son of Satan no more. I mean, I have never seen anybody. I mean, if you have any self-respect for any religion, whether you believe in religion or not, it's still like reading somebody's diary. It's a personal game, you know, you just don't do that. And then for him to go on, read on air what he said, and then even question what he's praying about. Like, the guy is crazy. Who is listening to these people, Bob? And then he turns around and says something about how he's a Christian later on in the program. You know?
Yeah, and it's, I don't ever, that's part of the thing with me and Christianity, Gary. I don't want to ever even run the remote risk of being associated in the same breath with the likes of Dobson or Falwell or Robertson or Hannity or any of these self-professing arbiters of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I cannot take that moral or ethical risk.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about a little bit ago. We were talking, you know, I was talking about the, you know, psychosis and what this stuff does to your brain. Look, when somebody is paying you $20 million to basically hustle cat food and floor wax and cars and oatmeal or whatever they will advertise on, and in the middle and in between the advertisements, you're supposed to be outrageous enough to keep the interest of the listener until you can get around to selling them another vacuum cleaner, and they're willing to pay you $20 million a year to do this. That's where the demonization comes in. Not me demonizing him, but him turning into a demon. All right? Because there has to... I think maybe it was you who referred to, you know, some of the fundamental changes that has to take place in a person to get them into that rarefied atmosphere. And this is that, Gary, because when they hand you the $20 million a year payday, something transformative happens inside your brain. Or it happens inside their brains, because, you know, in order to do this stuff, you got to get on the air and you have to tell deliberate falsehoods. And when you become a professional liar for that kind of money, something happens to whatever that spark is inside the human being that we call a soul. And it never happens for the good.
Well, I would say to that is that, and I've never been in that position where somebody can hand me X, Y, and Z, but I have been through trials, like in the rest of my life, when I had to put either my career on the line or whatever to either do the right thing or the wrong thing, and I've always done the right thing for the most part. Maybe one or two times I kind of made some mistakes, but then I quickly regret it and try to make good amends quickly. What I kind of personally believe that it's something that's already a dormant, so that when that $20 million comes to them or whatever, they move toward it because in the end it was what they always desire. You know what I mean?
Sure. It opened up.
They just do it and just like, oh, I'll do it. I mean, yeah, there's some people do it.
It peels back inhibitive layers off of the psyche, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely, that's what happens. Because, you know, we were talking about Christianity, things like that. When you get to that part in the Gospels about Satan taking Jesus up on the mountain and offering him the world and all its dominions, you know, I'm one of those people that believes there's a lot of metaphor in both the Old and the New Testament. You know, I don't believe that there was this guy Adam and this girl Eve and they populated the earth and that she ate a piece of fruit and everything went to hell in a handcar.
The Bible tells you that. We know that.
Yeah. It's a metaphor for a larger lesson. And it's a shame that the right-wingers and the fundies and the literalists don't want to get it, because the lesson is rather important. And the same thing applies to the story of Jesus being taken up unto that high place. I don't necessarily believe that Jesus got flown by the devil up onto a mountaintop. But what I do believe, and you know how leery I am of the word believe, what I do believe is that that is a metaphor for something that happened early in Jesus's ministry, early in his life, when he was at a critical crossroads for how he would continue to live the rest of his days, whatever were numbered unto him. And it is a metaphor that for what happens to all of us, because sometime or another, whether it's a bunch of millions of dollars or whether it's a beautiful woman who isn't our wife who throws herself at us or, you know, whatever it is. And I can say that I've never had either the beautiful woman throw herself at me or the offer of the millions of dollars. So I'm just, these are purely, purely exemplary. But whatever it is that gets offered to us, we get a chance to make a choice.
Yeah.
And the choice that we make will define us as opting for good or opting for evil. And frankly, when Hannity, you know, because Hannity just signed a new contract, and he's got to be flush with it. It's the same thing that happened with Limbaugh. He just signed that new contract with a great big signing bonus in it, a $400 million contract that'll keep him broadcasting till 2016, and all of a sudden the guy's out there talking about wanting to buy a football team. Something transformative has happened. And both he and, you know, because their contracts were signed within a week of each other, both Limbaugh and Hannity were taken again up unto a higher place. And they were shown it again, and, you know, you can have the world and all its dominions, and all you need to do is bow down unto me. And they both hit their knees and had their foreheads on the ground quicker than you could say, there you go. And they took it, and it transformed them. And it did not transform them for good.
because they know what is required of them. They have to spread slanders. They have to spread falsehoods. They have to, on a daily basis, Gary, they have to libel people who don't have it coming. And as a result of that, it warps their minds and it rots their souls.
Well, you know, I know you may not agree with this, but you're a true believer, man. I've listened to you for a while. And I know sometimes you probably go into more of the literal speaks about religion. I think anybody who's really a true Christian would understand. But you believe in love, and the Bible says that God is love, and Jesus is love, and that's where the abstract thing comes in, because really that's all it is about. It's about love. And, you know, people get technically into the Bible and all these other things, but the problem is they're not really looking at the focus of what this is all about. Really about hate or love. I mean, hate is the is not one thing that exists, and love is the desire for things to exist. And I mean, you literally look at the hate. You look at the guy last night. You know, yesterday who killed the people. He wanted to take something and not have it exist. And that's really the true definition of hate. The same thing with Kennedy and all these guys. That's all they're really saying. So sometimes I think we get too caught up into this whole thing about religion and belief. But the bottom line is, true believers are people who believe in love and believe in and things, you know, things existing and things being better. And, you know, that's not abstract to me, you know, whether you say, I don't believe in God or whatever. Nobody, I don't think in this earth, even the people who like the Hennedys or whatever, can't say that love don't exist. I mean, I think we all know that that exists, whether you believe in so-called, you know.
No. I think you're right. It's a question, Gary, of where the substitution takes place. There's a reason that you get lines like, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that there is talk in the Bible of the worship of mammon.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Hannity mistake material well-being and the ability to have lots of purchasing power or a fine house or a boat or a car or an NFL team, they fill the empty places in their lives with that, hoping that it will replace the love that they do not have. Because, you know, I was saying with Juanita that I kind of chuck St. Paul out the window, but I do sort, there's some I hang on to. And one of those is, Corinthians, where it talks about, and if I have not love, I am as sounding brass. Is there anybody out there that is more like, you ever heard a piece of brass struck? It's not a happy noise. And it's grating to the ear. And that's what these people are. They are sounding brass, for they have not love.
But then you're talking about, you know, metaphysical love to meta-spiritual. In other words, I'm talking in the sense that you love, let's say, animal because it's a living creature, or the earth because it's a living organism, or man, it's a living organism. To me, money and all this other stuff really isn't a living organism.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right.
So,
and
that's what I'm saying. Like,
this, yeah,
like metaphysical. I mean, meta-spiritual.
Look, where this Adkisson guy is concerned, I have a confession to make. Because one of the things that I always have to find myself asking, Gary, is who didn't talk to this guy? Who didn't put an arm around his shoulder? Who didn't do the things that we as liberals espouse that we would do? You know, you'll notice that when the people in that church wrestled him to the ground, they restrained him with belts, but they didn't sit there and punch his lights out once he was helpless. They didn't do the things that, you know, we would expect from the Bush administration types to do. They restrained him. They called the cops. They didn't pour out their hatred toward him. They didn't abuse him. One guy screamed why at him.
They were loved, that's why.
Yeah, they could have killed him. It would have been perfectly legal and justifiable for them to have killed him. He went into that church hoping that the cops would kill him.
He ran into some true believers, Bob. True believers. They loved and they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they
said. I was talking about that. He's reaping what he's sowing for himself. You know, Judas killed himself he hung himself. Nobody harmed Judas after he sold Jesus out. I mean, so, you know, we're not gonna destroy something that, you know, that has been created. That's not really the way of a true believer. But that doesn't mean that we're gonna sit back and allow them to take our existence away. And I think that's one thing that I'm not gonna ever let happen. You know, you're not gonna take me out, you know, and if it comes to me or you, then it's gonna be you, but I'm not gonna be in a position where I can save my own life and then decide I'm gonna also take theirs. I think, no, that's where we have to kind of draw the line. Because then if we do that, we become like them. We become ideologues and, you know, that.
And we become every bit as worthy of the loathing that we feel for them, for what has happened to their souls as anything that they have done to us. You're right.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes I struggle with actually feeling sorry for some of them. I have to admit, I never really go to wish bad on people, but it's just like Sean Hannity, and I listen to him, and I just get like a neutral feeling on it. I really don't, almost to the point, I don't know if maybe it's a bad thing, almost like I just don't believe. You know what I mean? Just don't too much care.
Yeah.
What happens to him. I mean, just like, not that, like I said, not that I feel something bad happens to him or want something, but it's like I'm just very neutral on it with him.
I wish I had that level of advancement because I do, and I know it is wrong of me, but I do sit around with a lot of people that I see violating the tenets that they of a faith that they pretend to hold, and I really want that sort of Olympian lightning bolt to come out and straighten things up real quick.
And so, David prayed for his enemy's demise.
Well, that's true too.
You know, he didn't necessarily was like, you know, he prayed for them, you know, for God to seek revenge on them. So, I mean, I'm not going to go, like I said, I don't go there, but, you know, David did. So, but then again, David was a king and a lot of people after him. So, you know.
Yeah, maybe we haven't experienced that quite yet.
Yeah, maybe we don't have it that bad. And he just said, look, you got to take these guys out.
Hey, when you're living, you know, when you're living in a cave and the king is after you.
Your son, your own son, right?
Well, no, I mean, no, I was thinking about Saul chasing him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Before he ever became king, there's a lot of understandable stuff in those songs that, yeah, you know, yeah, I can get it. But where, and you know that it's a viable and a valid inquiry, and I guess I've spent two nights on it now, and I got to move on probably tomorrow night. But I have some of this stuff I have to get through my own head, and I haven't gotten it through my own head with what happened in Knoxville, simply because I know, and you know, Gary, it's going to happen again.
Well, I think with you, Bob, it's a little different because you're at close range, you know. I mean, I'm in Maryland, I'm in a certain area or whatever, certain people. You're in close range, man. I mean, you're in striking distance. I mean, that we all are, but you really are. That's in my opinion, from what I, you know, have gathered about what you said and where you are, where you live, and the people who know you. And, you know, and you're on the air. So, I mean, I can understand, and you got a family. I can understand why, you know, it would be, you know, even more of a concern for you. So, I don't anyway think that it's something that you should not be trying to work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder about this.
What would you do in that situation? Would you restrain the guy if somebody did something to somebody in your family?
No, I'd kill him.
See,
I mean, I'm just not there. I mean, of course, you know, who among us can say what we really would do in that situation of extremis?
Yeah, you never know.
But the thing, you know, from I actually sit around, Gary, thinking about this country because it's kind of how I was raised. You know, in the family I was raised in, we talked about this country. We talked about what it meant to be an American. We talked about what was good and what was right, and we also didn't shy away from talking about what was wrong with this country. And I was always taught that talking about and working out what was wrong with this country was as important as sitting around and saying, "My, isn't this lovely?" Because you can't fix things if you think everything is lovely. and ignoring that knock in the middle of your engine block when you're doing 70 miles an hour down the highway, you know, that'll come out to your detriment. And by the same token, it happens civically, it happens socially, it happens politically, it happens culturally, and we're still never gonna have the discussion. I mean, we're having it. It happens on the horn, but to this date, it has never happened. The discussion that we must need at our peril that we don't have about why these things happen. Well, there are politically and socially and culturally untouchable topics that we are not allowed to take into consideration. I'll never forget when they finally caught the BTK killer out in Kansas. I was still doing terrestrial radio at the time, and there were people who were outraged, Gary, outraged that I had called the voter registration office and found out how many times that guy had voted in a Republican primary, because I tied that guy's right-wing authoritarianism to his willingness to kill. And I personally think, and I think I've had some validation on it, I personally think that it is a valid diagnostic tool. But people were outraged at it. You know, how dare you say that him being a Republican had something to do with his willingness to kill? Well, doggone it, being a Republican in 2008 in the United States of America means that you are an authoritarian and you will go where you are told and you will march when you're told to march and you'll stop when you're told to stop and you'll do what you're, and you'll do as you're ordered. And that's what this Adkisson character did in Knoxville, but we can't have that conversation.
Well, you know, the FBI did that famous profile of, you know, the serial killers, you know, back in the 60s and that going into the 80s. And the profile always came out to, you know, basically being a white male who basically was a very conservative-leaning person.
Yeah.
So the profile is there in the FBI. I mean, they know what's going on. That's why they monitor those white supremacy groups, because they know that they're the ones more likely going to carry out a terrorist attack or something. Because you think about it, you say, why wouldn't an African-American group be getting together the crap that we go through? What is in the psychology of...
They do that stuff, Gary, because I mean I've seen it today just wandering around message boards and, you know, looking for right wing babble on this stuff, because I went looking for it, and you see it, just because he was a right winger doesn't mean that's why he was a killer. What about the Black Panthers?
Yeah, but you know what, Bob?
And you know, at that point, Gary, I want to pull my hair out of my head.
But I'm saying those people are not being targeted. See, those white males, a lot of white males are being targeted to think and being programmed that way. It's not that the Black Americans are any having more moral code. I see Black men killing each other all the time. It's just that they're being targeted. Black people just aren't targeting each other with, you know, we don't have control of the media where, you know, there's a group of Black people on radio stations going out telling Black people to kill whitey every day. Trust me, if that was going on every day,
But Gary, now wait a minute, because I heard this happen here in this state. You let, what's his name? You let Maurice Shabazz show up in white America. Isn't that his name? I'm sure that Shabazz is his last name.
Used to be with Farrakhan.
Yeah, and the so-called New Black Panther Party.
I know. I forgot his name. Shabazz. I forgot his first name. I know you're talking about.
I heard it happen. He showed up. He showed up and was talking some strong language, and I mean, Lily White, West Virginia, about burnt up. I mean, just it got into a frothing rage. How dare he? You know, this was after that woman had been kidnapped and held hostage and raped and beaten and everything in Logan County, West Virginia. And he said, we are here to speak up for Black women. And, you know, white West Virginia got on the right-wing call-in line and said, well, why won't he speak up for white West Virginia women? And I was driving along, you know, it's one of those, you know, God, don't let me hit the telephone pole moments. And I'm sitting there, and I can't believe it, Gary, because it's like, you know, are you people that culturally clueless? You know, you say that, you know, the Black America isn't out doing that, but there's plenty of black on black crime, that kind of thing. Well, you know, there have been a couple of times when
Well, no. Half the time the stuff was made up to begin with, and it's interesting you should bring this up because our buddy Max Blumenthal has a new commentary out. It was over at Huffington Post talking about Toby Keith and his little lynching song, because they've made a movie out of Beer for My Horses now.
Okay.
And Max Blumenthal pointed out that during the video of the song, when they get to the line about there's too many gangsters and corruption on the streets, not so subtly, the video image you get is that of an African American male with dreadlocks and pants hanging down around his the middle of his backside, urinating on a wall. You know, I'm sorry, I catch that stuff. I see that stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, you look at the whole thing with CNN's doing now. I mean, they've been doing a thing really infuriating me. I think I'm going to call them or write them an email, because I know a number of African-Americans are very against this with them. This whole Black on America series. Just even the graphics, if you look at the graphics, like, you know, you see this red and black graphics, and there's, like, spray paint on a Greek graffiti wall. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I know. And so, because when I first heard about this, I just had this mental image of Soledad O'Brien sitting there on the set with her legs crossed and looking all cutesy with a copy of Black Like Me in her hand. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not working. Yeah. You know, I have here a copy of Eldridge Cleaver's Soul on Ice, and let me tell you. Yeah, no. This drives me nuts.
It's like I said, it's infuriating me. I know why they're doing it. They're trying so hard, Bob, to inject race into this political thing. They just keep doing it. And they're not going to stop. You know, I don't believe the race will end on race, because I think there is race will be decided because of race. But I would not say that 100%, because not so much because American people, because the media is like a carnivorous raptor. They are trying really hard. At some point, they're going to try to put race into it, because they're trying to push the buttons of America. But they can do that. It helps drive ratings. It helps drive stories. You know how it is, man. And that's what this is all about right now. You know, this whole thing about Obama, I mean, it's like 24 hours on Obama now. I'm like, you know, Bob Huber, the guy in New York Times, wrote a good article. He said, you know, we keep reading everything about Obama, what we don't know about him. But he says, what do we know about McCain? You know, when is the media really going to focus on McCain and talk about McCain? And, you know, I want to hear about his pastor, maybe. You know, I want to hear something about McCain. I know the thing I want to know about Obama right now. And the media's not focused.
Oh, you can't even get a story about McCain having a skin cancer removed from his face. You know, they only shoot him from certain angles now because the other side just looks like a war zone. You can't even get that without a bunch of medical spin coming from, and, you know, it was a very small lesion, and we removed it very quickly, and there's nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. Move along. These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. Ted Stevenson, he's sitting there, right? Ted Stevenson was indicted on a bunch of counts of money laundering, da, 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 da. Oh, yeah, by the way, Barack Obama's walking down the street.
And did you know he's black? Yeah. It was said earlier in the program today, why isn't Barack Obama 20, 25, 30 points up in the polls?
Because he's black.
And that's a tough pill to swallow.
I say the opposite way, Beth, because white people in this country are racist. They always try to put the onus on Obama. Oh, he should be doing better. I said, no, I don't look at it that way. Why is it his problem? If he seems to be the better candidate, and everybody's saying he should be 20 points ahead, and it's obvious because everybody's saying that, what's the problem? Barack Obama isn't the problem. We have some people in America, in my opinion, who are the problem. That's to me. I don't think this is a Barack Obama's problem. I think this is America's problem. And I think it's to those Americans, older Americans, who still are harking back to the 60s and their racial preferences, they need to get over it and realize that we got to put the best guy in, regardless of color. I don't care if Obama was white, green, blue. He is better prepared to lead the country where it has to go.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say this, Gary. If John McCain was a black man, you could not get me to vote for John McCain if you bought my vote.
No, I wouldn't have voted for Colin Powell or Bill Clinton. know, or whoever, or Al Gore. I mean, somebody, I'm like, I don't care, he's a Republican. I said, yeah, he seemed like a decent guy, but I'm not going to vote for him because I don't believe his ideals. It had nothing to do with his race or whatever. Now, you know, maybe somebody could sway me a little bit because he doesn't seem to be as corrupt. But in the end, you saw what happened to him, and it's because he's around a bunch of corrupt people, and corrupt people breed corrupt people.
Yeah.
You know, Obama.
They take you up to that high mountain. Don't think that Colin Powell didn't get taken up to that high mountain too.
Well, look at what Condoleezza Rice did. She I don't know if you heard about this, but she called the Pentagon. They said they've never done this. They called the when Obama was overseas last week. Collins told the some of the national services, you know, military, and not to help them.
No, well, they told the State Department that they could not go. State Department employees, federal government employees in Berlin could not go, were forbidden to go to Obama's address in Berlin because they said it was federal government policy. But that federal government policy apparently did not extend to John McCain when they took the blessed day off and quit the federal offices in Canada to go hear him speak.
Yeah, so there's some sense. So, see, it's not really, it ain't just about race, obviously, it's about politics and whatever, and it's just, you know, it really is this whole thing about Obama, 24-hour news cycle. I'm kind of getting sick of it. Every time I turn on TV, it's Obama. What is he doing, economic plans? You know, they're following him around economy. I know partially what that is. I mean, Republicans realize he's probably going to be the next president, and they're trying to get in there and influence the guy. And that's what it's all about now.
Well, there is a whole bunch of politics playing in this, because the other thing that seems to be having a hard time getting traction, and I'm rather grateful for it, is this... is this attempt at a smear on John Edwards? You know, and he was your guy, and he was my guy.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these National Enquirer guys stalking John Edwards to a hotel in California, but they all conveniently forgot their cameras. So
National Enquirer. You know, my friend was telling me about this. Like, oh, you heard about John McCain? I said, what is this for? He said, well, what do you mean for? I said, where did you hear from National Enquirer? He said, what? That's what I said. I have to think about it.
Yeah, now it's believable. Meanwhile,
only when it's New York Times, Washington Post, you know.
But not just that. The 6 months ago, you know, well, you know, the Star, or maybe it was the National Enquirer, maybe they both did, were running stories about how Laura Bush had moved into the Mayflower Hotel because she was sick and tired of George Bush shacking up with Condi. Didn't hear the right wing having a hissy over that one and taking it for gospel, did you?
They don't have nothing, Bob. Obama is clean as Caesar's wife right now. They know it. They don't got nothing. Nothing's going to stick. And even if they come up with something, now they're going to stick. So what do? They got to go try to find some Democrats to try to bring down. The problem is, every time they find a Democrat to talk about, here comes somebody like Stevenson or somebody else, you know, right in their face. So,
Senator Bridge to Nowhere. Senator Series of Tubes. Yeah, well, we now know that the money was flowing through those series of tubes and not electrons, and we know why he said what he did.
And it was an energy company, so that doesn't bode well for the Republicans. But we'll see what happens. But I think in the end, I mean, I know everybody's worried about the polls and stuff. I say, you know what, they're doing us a favor because it makes none of us rest in our laurels. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm personally going to put Obama in office. You are. Millions of other people are going to go and push them off.
Yeah, there's no time for resting on laurels right now, because I keep hearkening back to that many years ago when, of all people, Senator Robert Byrd looked at me and said, there's only two ways to run a campaign, unopposed and scared to death.
Yeah. Unopposed and scared to death. And the thing where people need to stop looking at these polls and being manipulated, think about one thing. What do the if you're a Republican, you're at home right now, what have the Republicans done in the last, to say, 8 years to make you decide, man, I got to go to the polls? Democrats have all the motivation to go to the polls. The Republicans don't. It's just that simple. This is just basic math at this point.
Yeah, at this point in time, they don't even have that I've got to go save the poor unborn babies thing going for them, do they?
No, I don't think the gay thing is going to be an issue. They don't seem to even have a wedge issue on the table. McCain is too old. That whole party's fractured. They can't run a campaign. The only thing they got left is to rig the polls. But they can only rig the polls unless it's close. And I don't even think it's really going to be close.
But there's stuff to be wary of and stuff to be concerned about. I'm looking at a thing from Greg Palast right now, Gary.
Bullet. That's what we got to worry about.
Well, no, but no, the same old skullduggery too. Greg Palast writes, Gary. He says in swing state Colorado, the Republican Secretary of State conducted the biggest purge of voters in history, dumping a fifth of all registrations. Guess their color. In swing state Florida, the state is refusing to accept about 85,000 new registrations from voter drives, overwhelmingly African-American voters. In swing state New Mexico, half of the Democrats of Mora, a dirt poor and overwhelmingly Hispanic county, found their registrations disappeared this year courtesy of a Republican voting contractor. In swing states Ohio and Nevada, new federal law is knocking out tens of thousands of voters who lost their homes to foreclosure.
I can rest assured, I can tell you one thing. The Obama people are very much aware of it. So that's all I really will say on that.
Yeah.
Again, they're going to do what they're going to try to do. But in the end, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this as best I can. This is not a threat, a promise. If there's any skullduggery of any sort this time, you and I know what's going to happen. It's just that simple. We're not going for it this time.
No, not going for it this time. And you know what? I don't think that Barack Obama is the kind of guy to leave anything on the field. I still have real, real bad feelings toward John Kerry for walking away from Ohio with John Edwards begging him to challenge the election results and $40 million in his campaign war chest remaining. I got real bad feelings about that because we now know, you know, we don't think, we don't believe, we don't suspect, we now know that Ohio was as cooked as Florida in 2004 as Florida was in 2000. And John Kerry never mind how John Kerry felt about John Kerry. John Kerry left you and me and everybody who planted a sign in their yard and knocked on doors and phone banked and called and put stickers on our cars and fought like devils to get him into the White House, and he left us hanging high and dry.
So let's say that same scenario was to happen this time. Let's see. The problem with Gore was he didn't have really a hardcore constituency behind him. People wanted him in. That's what I'm saying. This election is totally different now. You got rabid, you know, a lot of people get mad when people say, well, the Obama people are like psychotic. They think he's the one. No, Bob, I kind of like that.
And I can see where you would, because where nobody was particularly excited about, about Kerry, or to a certain extent about Gore. Doggone it. I'm ashamed of myself.
People didn't care. Yeah. Those people on the right who were looking at saying, wait a minute, we better be very careful here, because these people are not playing. You know, these people who follow, whether you would call them voters, this time they're not playing. They are rabid, they are persistent, and they are determined. It's something different right now, and I think that they kind of get the sense that, you know, hey, wait a minute. We just can't pull the old okey-doke this time, because this time people are not going to go quietly in the night. And I think people are underestimating that the right wing don't know that. They know that. They know, they listen, they know people like me, and I'm probably like from the light affair. Trust me, I'm from the light affair. I know some people out there who are not black. I'm talking about white people. You know, I'm talking about people, you know, I said it before. If something was to happen to Obama, you won't see black people up in the street tearing up shit. You're going to see some white people tearing up shit, too. This is not about Obama this time. This is about people losing their homes. People, you know, I was listening to Bob earlier, you know, and people are really pouring their hopes into him. Now, that may not be fair, and sometimes you don't like that. But that's what's cementing the cement to me. Because right now, when people start doing that, once that happens, you can't touch a person like that. You just can't. And, you know, I just think at this point in time, Republicans are going to sit back and be, if they're smart, they're going to sit back. Sean Hayden, they talk their crap, and they do all the other stuff. They're going to get the hell out the way. They're going to get the hell out the way.
And look, I mean, at the end of the day, where the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and the rest of that crowd are concerned, they have had to carry water for an absolute miserable failure of a president for 8 years. Limbaugh even admitted it with the congressional elections in 2006. He said, I ain't carrying water anymore. But, of course, he's continued to do so. But don't you think for a minute that when it comes bedtime at that 24,000-square-foot mansion that Flush Flimball shares with a cat, don't you think that his head doesn't hit the pillow praying? Would never be caught publicly saying it, because then he would be exposed for the fraud he is. But don't think for a minute, Gary, that when his head hits the pillow, Rush Limbaugh isn't praying to whatever demon controls him or whatever it is that he prays to. Don't think for a minute that he isn't praying that Barack Obama wins, because he knows
a lot of money is about
Barack Obama wins, and Rush Limbaugh has a shot at an $800 million contract,
right.
And Sean Hannity has a shot at a $100 million contract, and Bill O'Reilly is suddenly $25 million, and Michelle Malkin's stock goes up, and Coulter comes back, and all of these right wing thugs have it easy for the next 4 to 8 years.
Exactly.
Because all they have to do is sit back and be as hateful as they want to be, and they don't have to justify nothing, especially if there are significant majorities in the House and the Senate, and we get the we get the Oval Office. Then, oh my God, can you imagine, Gary, the first nominee to the United States Supreme Court that Barack Obama makes? That person will come into the Senate chambers with cloven hooves, a tail, and a horn. Okay?
And it will be Hillary Clinton.
Then what I just said goes double. And but you know that's what it's going to be, right? I mean,
oh my God, imagine Hillary Clinton, their worst nightmare now, the Supreme Court justice.
Well, maybe, yeah, but that's the shock troops and the pawns in the culture war's worst nightmare. Again, Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, if you're with them in a bar and they're about half liquored up and you go, here's how it works out. Obama becomes president and his first Supreme Court nominee is Hillary Clinton. Those two, if they're liquored up enough to have their inhibitions down, Gary, oh my God, they will get up and rip their clothes off and run dancing naked around the room for absolute, sheer, unmitigated joy. They might just explode on the spot for the sheer happiness of it. Because that makes their job easy.
But I think the thing that I think we have to really be careful of is that, you know, I can sit here and say that, you know, Republicans, I know some people are saying that Republicans may walk away from this because they're leaving such a mess, and they know they're leaving such a mess. I think the Republicans may be also looking at, and I think, you know, I'm seeing some of these Republicans going to these meetings with Obama now, they're saying, wait a minute, suppose this guy pulls this crap off next 8 years. Suppose he does what we all, you know, been, you know, wanting for years and gets this country going in the right direction and cements his legacy. And suppose they're convinced, saying, wow, this guy really is brilliant. If they're on that level, then it seems to me that they're going to be hell-bent on taking him out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people aren't thinking that way. They think, well, you know, they're leaving a mess and they're just going to run a skirt along. The Republicans don't think that way. They're not thinking like that. They think a long term. And they're saying, wait a minute. This guy is brilliant. Look at the way he's running his campaign. Look at the way he's addressing some of the issues. Look at the way he's taking on some of the less issues, the Iraq war, yada, yada, yada. This guy could destroy the Republican Party for the next 100 years if he turns this thing around. So I think that's what I'm more, like, concerned about. If they're thinking on that level, then it's going to be very hard for him to get into the White House, you know?
They're not going to lay down at any point in time. And don't kid yourself, they have tried everything smear-wise, and to the same extent that Limbaugh and Hannity are praying for Obama to be president and you know, maybe a Hillary nominee, the right-wing media monsters behind McCain and so forth, Gary, they're falling asleep at night, and you know what their chant is? White woman, white woman. White woman, white woman, please God, let him get caught with a white woman, please. Because it's what you said. It's all they've got left. And
that's probably why they keep, you know, it's funny you said that, because that's my term of excite, you know. They got Scarlett Johansson or whatever her name is, the actress. Because she said a while back, she made jokes, I'm engaged to Barack Obama. And every time I turn around, I like see this little story pop up. And it's like, she just made an off-color remark, you know, just
it's not an accident that you see it, Gary.
They keep pushing her on this site, you know, like on the major news thing. And now I heard that she's going to the, convention. They put her name on the list of people going. And I was hoping that the bomb people just call her and say, look.
Stay home.
Not come nowhere near Denver.
Yeah.
Don't come to, just anyway.
Not going to be any photo ops. Oh, mercy.
Go get a backstage pass. You go pick up a picture of Obama. That's all they got. You're right, man. I'm going to keep praying. Well, you're praying white woman. I'm going to keep praying black woman, Michelle Obama.
Well, and that's the other thing. They may very well, you know, they thought they found a first lady to hate in Hillary Clinton. But you know what? They may not have even begun to contemplate how badly they're beginning to think about it. The right wing hasn't begun to fully contemplate how badly they hate Michelle Obama, because Michelle will not take it.
I was for Obama and everything. There's a part of me that kind of thinks, what would it have been like to see Hillary, the Clintons, and the Republicans go at it one more time? You know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, that would have been like the ultimate death match right now.
Steel cage and everything, yeah. No one admitted after the first 5 minutes. Hey, Gary, what a wonderful conversation. Thanks
right,
so much.
Take care.
All right, okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Wow, what a night, everybody. Thank you so very, very much, all of you. Thanks for your emails. Marty, our buddy in California, Marty chimed in, and he noted that going back to what I was saying about Limbaugh wanting to buy the St. Louis Rams, Marty noted that it turns out that, and shame on me for not knowing this, but Georgia Frontieri, who was the widow of Carol Rosenblum, who owned the Rams, she died January the 18th, 2008. I don't know where I was that night. I didn't notice it. But ownership of the Rams has passed to her son, Chip Rosenblum, and her daughter, Lucia Rodriguez. Marty says, don't you feel fulfilled now? But he says he also agrees with Sandra that as to how the NFL would react to having to approve Limbaugh as an owner. Remember the controversy on ESPN? Oh, yeah, they're going to love that. But then again, money talks, especially in its millions or perhaps billions. So thank you for everybody who came into the chat room, headonradionetwork.com, the chat room there. If you've never been there, you're missing out on a whole bunch of fun. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for your phone calls. Thanks to Juanita and Gary and Albert and Bob and Sandra. Hope I didn't miss anybody. Take any given night of this program and the folks that you hear from, and compare that with, say, the McLaughlin Group. Who's smarter? Shh, don't tell the McLaughlin Group, but I'd say that the callers to this program have them by, or God knows Fox News Sunday. We've got them by a good cumulative 1,500 IQ points or something like that. Not just me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you guys. And it only happens here. It only happens on the Head On Radio Network. So thanks not only to our callers and our emailers, our chatters. Thanks to the moderators, the bloggers. Thanks to the news ninjas. Thanks to John Fox and Peter Godbold, respectively, our chief engineer and our IT professional. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, WhiteRoseSociety.org, the hardest working man in liberal talk. When you click on the stream or you go to download an archive, you do so because of the hard work of Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks for the partial sponsorship of all Horn programming to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. You can become a part of the solution to the devastation that is mountaintop removal by going to CRMW.net. Sign the petition at coalriverwind.org. Stand shoulder to shoulder in an effort to provide a future, not just for Southern West Virginia,
but for this nation. Because I don't care where you are. You're all, every last one of you, me included, we are all downstream and downwind from mountaintop removal. Anywhere on this planet, we are all downstream and downwind. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.